Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Then press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
NWCR Radio has been on the air since 2006 and with Conservative Nation Media since 2013. Now, NWCR continues as the owner of CNM with the news that the lamestream lying liberal media chooses not to tell you because the truth has nothing to do with the agenda that they are all pushing. We will tell the truth no matter what the liberal left has to say about it or what the truth is. Being banned off of YouTube for telling the truth with my updates and off of Facebook several times, we have our badges of honor that we keep pushing the envelope for on our show. My co-host, Lucid Libertarian Lori Ann, and I, along with my band of callers, have great shows with great information for America on each episode. We are NWCR Radio, Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. CNM is growing again, and our new show coming up next with host Suzette will be airing on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. Suzette is a constitutional scholar and health professional who has hosted shows on BTR since 2009. She currently hosts Welcome to Suzette Live Talk on Spreaker. Tune in for coming up next with Suzette at 4 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays, heard through Conservative Nation Media, where we can depend on the truth always being told and where America always wins.
Oh my God, you are Carl Weathers, the actor.
Welcome to Watch Mojo, and today we're honoring the late Carl Weathers by looking at his 10 best performances.
Apollo Creed meets the Italian Stallion.
Number 10, Jericho Jackson, Action Jackson.
How do you like your ribs?
While it was trashed by critics, Action Jackson proved quite popular with the general public and allowed Weathers to continue his 80s dominance. Produced by Joel Silver, Action Jackson was influenced by the blaxploitation films of the 70s and follows a Detroit police detective who hunts a powerful auto magnate.
What you're saying to me is Delaplane's killing off unfriendly AWA leaders and you don't know why he's doing it? You don't have any evidence that he's doing it? Come on!
The movie opened at number 3 and went on to gross $65 million against a $7 million budget, making it one of Weathers' most successful movies. He's a commanding presence, and while he was often relegated to supporting roles, Action Jackson proves that he was more than capable as a leading man.
He had to let boy's arm off.
So, he had a spare.
Number 9, Combat Carl, Toy Story of Terror.
What are
you, quiet, soldier. You'll lead them right to us.
Carl Weathers joined the Toy Story universe in 2013, playing Combat Carl in the TV movie Toy Story of Terror. A Halloween special, it follows the toys as they search for a missing Mr. Potato Head. Combat Carl plays a major role in the special, and it's incredible how much character work is packed into such a short time frame.
The only thing that's kept Combat Carl going is the thought he might see his owner Billy just one more time.
In just 20 minutes, we get a rich backstory, a close emotional bond with Jesse, a possible reference to Happy Gilmore, and moments where Combat Carl plays the hero. The character allows Weathers to show his range, not to mention his fantastic talents as a voice actor.
When Combat Carl gets stuck in a jam, he says to himself, Combat Carl never gives up. Combat Carl finds a way. Now say it.
Combat Carl never gives up.
You're not Combat Carl.
Number 8, Yarbrough, Friday Foster.
Hey, kid. I'm looking for Miss Friday Foster.
After retiring from professional football in 1974, Weathers tried his hand at acting and immediately found work thanks to his friend Arthur Marx. Marx was writing and directing a blaxploitation movie called Friday Foster, which was based on the then-popular comic strip. The film stars Pam Grier as the titular Friday, a magazine photographer who becomes embroiled in a racial conspiracy.
Don't wonder, Friday. Just take your cute little behind out there and get those pictures, and goddammit, don't get involved.
Weathers plays a henchman named Yarbrough, and while it isn't a huge role, it's still memorable thanks to his obvious star power. Weathers is stylish, creepy, imposing, and he even gets to fight Yaphet Kotto. Not bad for his first major role.
Oh, have mercy! You entertain in the middle of the daytime, too? Y'all is too much.
Number 7, Omnitraxis Prime, Star versus the Forces of Evil.
Who are you?
I'm Omnitraxis Prime. I'm the space-time guy, the time loop. That's my territory. It's a space-time problem.
Weathers continued his voice acting talents with Star versus the Forces of Evil, an animated Disney series following the magical princess Star Butterfly. Weathers joined the show in the second season, playing an enormous deity named Omnitraxis Prime. Omnitraxis is the master of space-time, and at one point, helped Star when she becomes trapped in a time loop.
What do you need?
I need Father Time. I'm stuck in a time loop.
But despite his incredible power and fearful appearance, Omnitraxis is quite a friendly fellow, and the character allows Weathers to have some fun in the recording booth. He's affable and warm, like a comforting grandfather, and we could listen to him speak all day.
And the bi-monthly meeting to discuss the productivity of our meeting, as well as checking the notes to accurately record the minutes of... What are you doing to that pizza?
I'm eating it.
Number 6, Adam Boudreaux, Street Justice.
Come on, we just busted the number one hitman in the country.
There'll be new rankings out tomorrow.
We would be remiss not to mention Street Justice, a crime drama that aired in syndication in the early 90s. This was Weathers' first starring role on television, playing soldier-turned-detective Adam Boudreaux. Adam is severely wounded while serving in Vietnam, but is ultimately saved by Grady Jameson, the young son of some local missionaries. Adam then reunites with an adult Grady, and the two enact some sweet street justice.
Well, I've been looking for you for 20 years. I've been here in the same place for nearly that long. How come you couldn't find me?
Weathers is endlessly enjoyable, and the series won an award for its direction at the Chicago International Film Festival. While it has since fallen out of popularity, Street Justice is a great bit of early 90s TV, and we encourage all Weathers fans to check it out.
Look, I just helped you cops nail a major criminal, right? I took a bullet in the shoulder. I got shot. What's the thanks I get, huh?
Number 5, Greef Karga, The Mandalorian.
Oh, that was fast. Did you catch them all?
One of Weathers' final roles was also one of his most iconic. What a great way to finish an unbelievable career. He appears in The Mandalorian as Greef Karga, the bounty hunter who kicks the entire storyline into motion. The role was incredibly successful for Weathers, and it gave him a new legion of fans. Greef was only supposed to be in a couple of episodes, but Weathers impressed Jon Favreau so much that he had the role expanded.
Magistrate Karga.
That's High Magistrate Karga to you.
Weathers also directed several episodes and received an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Drama Series. Funnily enough, he directed himself to the nomination, having personally helmed Chapter 12, The Siege.
Has Mando been taking good care of you, huh? Have you been taking good care of him? Yeah, he said yeah.
Number 4, Chubbs Peterson, Happy Gilmore.
Who the hell are you?
I'm the club pro here, Chubbs Peterson. I'm offering to teach you how to play golf personally, for free.
Weathers is an icon of the action genre, but one of his most popular characters comes in the form of a goofy Adam Sandler comedy. Happy Gilmore is one of those movies that defines the 90s, following a violent hockey player who turns to golf and causes problems on the green.
The board is taking the following action. You'll be fined $25,000 and suspended for 1 month.
Suspended? I gotta play!
Doug, kick him off the tour.
Happy is mentored by Chubbs Peterson, a former golfer who was forced to retire after an unfortunate accident. Weathers plays the straight man against Sandler, but is still hilarious, often doing everything he can to conceal his rising frustration. He's also warm and jovial, proving a genuine friend to Happy and helping him appear more professional.
Got something really special for you.
Wow, thanks, Dad.
See that? That is the same putter I used when I played. Slightly modified, of course.
Number 3, Carl Weathers, Arrested Development.
Give me a bourbon.
Any room on that tab for me to jump on?
It takes guts to poke fun at yourself. Luckily, Carl Weathers had those guts, and it resulted in what is, no exaggeration, one of the funniest characters in TV history. Weathers plays himself, having been hired by Tobias to serve as his acting coach. However, he doesn't do much coaching and instead gives Tobias unwanted tips for saving money.
We've got a new soda. And you know that you can get a refill on any drink you want here, and it's free.
Much of the humor comes from Carl's extreme frugality, and he proves such a cheapskate that he makes Tobias look normal. Weathers pulls it off with unbelievable skill, delivering gut-busting lines with a deadpan expression and serious face. We will never make a stew again without thinking of Carl Weathers.
Whoa. There's still plenty of meat on that bone. Now you take this home, throw it in a pot, add some broth, a potato. Baby, you got a stew going.
Number 2, Al Dillon, Predator. It is an image that is burned into our collective minds. Two hands grasping in brotherly unity, their biceps bulging like mountaintops.
What's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils?
This beautiful, unforgettable image comes from Predator, which stars Carl Weathers at peak physical form. He plays CIA op Al Dillon, who accompanies Dutch Schaefer on a dangerous rescue mission in the South American jungle. While there, the team is hunted by the titular Predator, and pure 80s escapism ensues.
The wounds all fused, cauterized. The hell could have done this to a man?
Weathers holds his own against other screen icons like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jesse Ventura, and Bill Duke, and he perfectly embodies the machismo action figure of the 1980s.
Hold it, Dutch. I'm going after Max.
This is Al Dillon.
Guess I picked up some bad habits from you. Now get your people the hell out of here.
Before we continue, be sure to subscribe to our channel and ring the bell to get notified about our latest videos. You have the option to be notified for occasional videos or all of them. If you're on your phone, make sure you go into your settings and switch on notifications. Number 1, Apollo Creed, the Rocky franchise.
Gotta get that look back, Rock. Eye the tiger, man. Eye the tiger, come on.
Apollo Creed was Carl Weathers' most challenging acting job, but he pulled it off with effortless aplomb. Apollo is a very complex character, beautifully written and with many different layers. He's arrogant and disgustingly pompous, but fun to watch. He's sympathetic as his envy grows and his spotlight fades.
How much did you get to carry that bum for 15 rounds? You're a disgrace to your people.
Why can't you ignore it?
Are you serious?
He's fun and playful as he takes Rock under his wing. Whatever he is, Carl Weathers is portraying it perfectly. He also has the talent to convey deep emotions without saying a single word. In the first film, you can pinpoint the exact moment that Apollo stops having fun and starts taking the fight seriously. It's a brilliant performance from a brilliant actor, and we'll miss him dearly.
I guess what matters is what he stood for, what he lived for, and what he died for.
Are we missing anything? Let us know in the comments below.
Chin up, Happy. Don't feel bad about me.
Did you enjoy this video? Check out these other clips from WatchMojo. And be sure to subscribe and ring the bell to be notified about our latest videos.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Here we are. It is Sunday night. You are tuned in to the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show. Hello, all of you liberty and freedom-loving people out there. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got some people already filing in. We got Mike and Gunslinger here on the switchboard. We got people making their way to the chat room as well. We got Bob, Gunslinger, and Boyd in the chat room. And so, yeah, lots of stuff to try to cover today. I have a feeling we're going to have a big show. And then, of course, a few items that I wasn't able to fit in the show description that I do want to talk about. And I'm glad that Gunslinger is tuned in because, of course, there's Second Amendment-related news that I want to also get into as part of the topic of discussion for tonight. So, yeah, let's start off with that was a tribute to Carl Weathers. Rest in peace to him. We lost a good one, folks. I certainly remember him most from Rocky and then, of course, Predator back in the day. He was, you know, other than I think, you know, when you think of the Rocky movies, you got to think Carl Weathers in addition to Stallone. I mean, it's the two just went hand in hand. And, you know, and I got to say, you know, as a, you know, I'm a girl, I'm a woman, okay? And, you know, back in the day, you know, he was a pretty fine-looking man. So I kind of crushed on him from the Rocky movies and Predator. But then, of course, Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore, I think, was when we all started to see that he could really be funny, you know, in this genre of action all the time, you know, action and war and whatever and fighting and whatnot. Happy Gilmore was when, you know, he was so funny playing Chubbs and in that movie. And so that kind of showed a different side to him. And of course, there's been a lot of his, you know, people that have worked with him that have been paying tribute to him and stuff. And so, I did not like hearing the news that he passed. So rest in peace to you, Carl Weathers. Into other news, you know, bang, 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 the drums of war. Actually, before I get into that, just real quick, I got to do a sound effect here, okay? So we have the United States and the UK conducted strikes on multiple Houthi targets in Yemen, in addition to the U.S. military mounting a series of air and missile strikes against Iranian proxies in Iraq and Syria. So here we go, folks. This is the drums of war. You know, I think that we talked quite a bit about it in the past where, you know, we're getting dragged into this. And, you know, so these, you know, these aren't, necessarily preemptive strikes. They're in retaliation for strikes against us, of course. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, baiting the trap in a way. And so things are escalating there in the Middle East. And, of course, the United States, we, you know, our government just can't seem to stay away from potential war. And, you know, when are we going to demand that our government stay out of the affairs of other countries, take care of our own? Let's take care of our own borders, our own security, our own people. With this military-industrial complex, they're drooling at the bit. I'm sure all of the insiders in Congress are busy moving their investments over to military contracting companies and all that. So, you know, they're making bank off of this. So this is, you know, I don't want to see our U.S. military men and women dying overseas over and over again when it actually isn't in defense of us. It isn't in defense of our own border, our own country. It is because we just can't keep our nose out of everybody else's business. Suddenly, the United States, our government, has become like the world's, not only the world's police, but the world's endless bank account, practically, for foreign aid, quote-unquote foreign aid, which, of course, as we all know, the vast majority of that foreign aid comes in the form of military assistance and very rarely actually helps the people of those countries, even when it's supposed to. So things are escalating there. It looks more and more and more like we're going to have World War III. You know, we got the beginnings of it. We got the lead up to it. It's like if we fast forward in history, imagine fast forwarding in history 25 years from now and the kids are learning if there even are schools anymore, depending on how the results of World War III, the survivors learning about it 25 years from now or 50 years from now and learning what led up to it. And we are witnessing it right now. So we can get into that more a little bit later in the show if we like. On the other news, former CIA officer gets 40 years in prison over the largest data breach in agency history. We can't even trust our own, right? So here we go. You know, and this is only what's found out. I'm sure that there's probably been more types of things like this that we just haven't heard about. We can get more into that story as well. But that's another agency that deserves to get the axe. I don't see any real purpose to having the CIA. They are corrupt, probably one of the most corrupt agencies. I don't know. Is it a tie between the IRS and the CIA being the most corrupt? I don't know. That's a toss-up. But anyway, so we have one of the CIA officers that committed treason, basically. In other news, Minnesota says goodbye to 146 dairy farms. So don't be surprised if the cost of milk starts going up and butter and things like that. 146. That's just crazy. They've tried to survive, and now a lot of the COVID-related programs that were trying to keep, you know, farmers alive, that funding is starting to wane. Of course, you know, most of the COVID relief funding was nothing but fraud. But, you know, to have at least a little of that money actually go to legitimate purposes, right? So I wonder if this is going to be a trend. So Minnesota, you know, 146 dairy farms, that's just one state. So let's keep an eye out and let's see if this is a trend that more dairy farms close up shop. Let's see. Then New York City is going to provide illegal alien families with prepaid credit cards. Can I get a few of those? That's not going to be right for abuse or anything, right? Where are they coming up with the money for all this? I mean, New York City, they're like bankrupting themselves here. How are they affording all of this? That's a good question, right? Then the EPA proposes forever chemicals be considered hazardous substances. This, you know, this I might actually agree with the EPA on something, because those forever chemicals, all these chemicals that are in plastics, they line our plastics, they line our cookware, they're in everything. And so these forever chemicals, they don't biodegrade, they don't go anywhere. We're talking like microplastics. That, you know, microplastics have been found in just about every freshwater lake or river that's been tested. They've tested, you know, thousands of lakes and rivers all around the world, and they're finding microplastics in the in this water, you know, so, and of course in the oceans as well. So these forever chemicals just stick around, and they are piling up since, you know, they're not going anywhere, and there's health hazards involved. So, you know, I actually kind of tend to agree with the EPA on that one. I think they should be considered hazardous substances, because if those chemicals don't biodegrade, then what do you think is happening inside of our own bodies? If our own bodies don't know what to do with them, and if our own bodies struggle to get rid of these chemicals, then that might explain a lot of the illnesses and things that people are getting, you know, everything under the sun. If you combine that with the COVID jabs, you know, that we all know is poison and fueling cancer at an alarming rate. So, you know, they're, you know, it's coming at us like our bodies are amazing things. You got to think about it. Our bodies are absolutely amazing. How are we not dead? You know, how are we not dead by, you know, how are our children not dead within 6 months of being born? You know, it all of the chemicals that we're exposed to, pollution in the water, the COVID jabs that everybody took, I mean, pharmaceuticals and drugs and everything. I mean, the cumulative effect of it, it's amazing how much our human bodies can tolerate and still live. I mean, when the odds are against it, really. And so we can get more into that later if we want. I can pull up the article and get into details. Let's see, the House, our U.S. House passed a tax bill expanding the child tax credit, but it faces an uncertain fate in Democrat-led Senate. So we got that, and I have a few issues with that. You know, I've talked about it before. It's like, you know, you decide to have children, you're raising a family, and it's like, so long as you have a kid, you get all of these tax breaks, right? And that leaves people like me that are single and never had children footing the bill. You know, my tax bill compared to somebody that has a kid, even just one kid, is so different. So it's like a penalty. If you're single and you don't have a child, you're penalized, and you end up making up the difference. You end up paying for all of these services related to, you know, helping people out with childcare, related to funding the schools and the school buses and roads leading to them, and you know, all of these things geared around children And of course, you know, of course we're supposed to prioritize children and everything, but I'm going to say it right now. I am going to say that it is okay to be selfish if you're single and childless and getting frustrated with the fact that you're penalized. Your paycheck is that much less. You don't get all these tax credits. You don't get this big return at the end of the year. You're penalized. You're the one that is paying for all these services that you're never going to use. I will never have children that need to go to school, and I'll never have children that we need to pay for all of these services to provide for children. You know, these are all things I'm paying for that I will never actually utilize or have pertained to me. But me and people like me foot the bill for it. Yet at the same time, you know, hey, any tax credit is a good tax credit at the same time, right? We need to get rid of the income tax, number one, of course. You know, this wouldn't be a problem if we weren't unconstitutionally paying federal and state income taxes. It's unconstitutional. And so it does create these preferences, like unfair preferences for rewarding people that have children and punishing people that don't. Anyway, so that's a whole other conversation. I'm not going to, you know, go on forever about that. Interesting story. The Trump White House, this came out, Trump White House pharmacy improperly provided drugs and misused funds. So apparently while Trump was in the White House, the claim is that the White House pharmacy was dishing out anything and everything under the sun when it comes to prescription drugs. And so now, of course, they're throwing that in their face, combat, you know, the cocaine that was found in the Biden White House, or the crack cocaine or whatever a while back. But, you know, hey, at least the pharmacy drugs weren't illegal, right? Crack cocaine versus pharmacy drugs, although there's not a whole lot of difference in some ways. But, yeah, so we could get into that article. I'm not sure if you all saw that, but, yeah, they're throwing that around. That's what's coming up next. And it's not right. I mean, you know, they were dishing out, you know, pain meds. I can't remember some of the drugs that was listed in the article. I can pull it up if we want to get in more into it. But that's not a good thing. Then what's been making the news, I actually do have a clip about this from Facts Matter discussing this. Oregon Supreme Court rules that 10 GOP state senators are ineligible to run for reelection. We can get into that. That's one of those close to home stories that hopefully we'll get into later in the show. Then an election integrity watchdog recommends 14 reforms for states to improve election integrity and election security. So, you know, a while back, Joe Gibson and I and others worked on election integrity reforms, a list of things to do. And so we can get into that as well to see how much of those 14 reforms match what we came up with a while back and circulated around to send to our legislators in our states to improve election security and election integrity. Let's see, then a federal judge rules that California ammo background checks are unconstitutional. Yay, so we have another win. You know, the federal judges are not liking all of this anti-2A, anti-gun legislation that they keep cranking out. And so requiring background checks for ammunition is definitely unconstitutional. It doesn't make any sense. And so I'm glad they shut that down. But, of course, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I don't think that they would want it to go to the U.S. Supreme Court with our current Supreme Court. They pretty much know what's going to happen. It'll get shot down there as well. So I'll be surprised if there's going to be an appeal on that. Let's see. Washington state lawmakers propose an 11% tax on the privilege of buying ammo. So this is kind of related. So if background checks are found unconstitutional, then you can bet your ass that proposing an 11% tax on buying ammo would be equally unconstitutional. That's you know, a privilege, you know, like I said, a privilege tax or like a luxury tax. Sorry. But ammo for your firearms is not a luxury. It's a necessity. Having a gun does you no good if it doesn't have the ammo to go with it. So that 11% tax is crazy. I hope that gets shot down. They're proposing it. I hope it doesn't pass. And if it does pass, I hope that the same federal judge hears the case and shoots that down as well and finds it unconstitutional. Let's see. The ATF is preparing to regulate private gun sales with background checks. Here's another one. They're going to change their regulations. They're preparing to change the regulations and require background checks even for private gun sales. This I am not a big fan of either. How is that at all constitutional? And how does the ATF have the authority to make that type of a change? That's concerning. So lots of anti-gun stuff going on here. And of course, we also have, you know, states proposing all the semi-automatic rifle bans and things like that. So like the anti-gunners are really, really coming to a head here. All right, on to other news. Diversity politics undermined federal air traffic control skills-based testing. We can get into that. Hopefully we have like Pianchi and Sarge that might be able to chime in on that as well. And so we have a little bit of a problem with federal air traffic control skills-based testing. Because, of course, they want to be diverse. They want to hire based on color instead of hire based on who tests the best. That can't be good. Air traffic control is a very seriously, highly stressful, big deal type of position to have. You need your best and brightest to be in air traffic control. You don't want to, you really don't want to lower the standards when it comes to that job, that is for sure. And not just, you know, the technical proficiency, but I'm also talking about, you know, the ability to handle an incredibly high amount of stress with a cool head. That's kind of one of those skills that you can't test on paper. But anyway, so I think that's wrong. That's definitely it's reverse racism, put it that way. More and more of this reverse racism. Let's do favors to certain groups of people based on the color of their skin. Let's lower standards to certain people based on the color of their skin. That goes against our values as well. And I think that this push for this kind of crap is just continuing the division and continuing the fan the flames of racism when they keep doing this stuff, it, where even people of color are going, no, you know, we don't want this either. Anyway, moving on. Bidenomics is proving to be so successful, right? We have a lot of, there's a lot of big tech firms and media firms, journalists, kicking off 2024 with a lot of job cuts and layoffs. So that's not a good way to start out a new year. Because, I mean, normally what we see happen is the layoffs happen toward the end of the year, or the middle of the year. And at the beginning of the year, now it's a new quarter. It's the first quarter of the year. Companies have new budgets, things like that. And so usually hiring picks up. You don't usually have a lot of layoffs to kick off a new year. You usually have a surge in hiring in the new year. But when it comes to a lot of the tech companies and media firms, that is not the case. There's a lot of job cuts in those markets lately, and more planned job cuts as well. So, yeah, that's concerning. That's not a very good start for the new year, especially for those like me that are looking for jobs. And now, you know, when you have a whole bunch of people getting laid off, that's that much more competition for people like me that are looking for jobs, that are trying to get their foot in the door and even just get a call back or an interview, you know. Then also in local news, Oregon, our governor, is declaring a state of emergency due to the fentanyl crisis. It's a state of emergency declared in Portland. And then also Deschutes County here in Oregon is considering that as well, because the fentanyl, it's all over the place. It's everywhere. So there is that as well. Let's see, we got two Skype numbers that have popped into the switchboard, and then also have, looks like Daniel and or Kathy is raising their hands as well, so hello. Hang on just a moment. I'll bring people on here shortly. So stay tuned. I'm just kind of covering most of the stuff that I wanted to cover. and yeah, of course, I got plenty of clips and stuff that I know I'll probably never get to. But I know that with Gunslinger on and everything too, Second Amendment kind of related. Not sure if any of you have heard of this. It is a Senate Bill 3589, S.3589, Preventing Private Paramilitary Activity Act of 2024. The sponsor of this is Ed Markey, Democrat from Massachusetts. It was proposed on January 16th. And it will amend Title 18 of the U.S. Code to prohibit unauthorized private paramilitary activity and for other, don't you love that? That's right there is like bing, 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 and for other purposes. Oh, goody. I'm going to go ahead and put the link to this legislation into the chat room. So you all can peruse that. Let's see. And it looks like I wasn't paying attention to the chat because I was reading my my episode info. So, hey, we got Jim Clark in the chat room as well. Good to see you. And then we got Joe Gibson in the chat room as well. Hey, Joe Gibson. And so let's see. Let's get into this legislation. Prohibition of unauthorized private paramilitary activity. Definitions. Goes through the definitions, of course. Ammunition. The term ammunition, given the term in Section 921A. Armed forces. Dangerous weapon. The term dangerous weapon has the meaning given to the term in Section 930G. I'd have to look that up. You know, I love how they do this. Like, they reference all of these different things. So it's like you know, you have to spend 3 hours just to go and like, okay, let's look up this, let's look up that, let's look up what this means. But, you know, like dangerous weapon, that could be almost anything, but we could look that up if we want to. Explosive or incendiary device, firearm, large capacity ammunition feeding device, National Guard, person, private military organization. So here's a couple. So here's ones that actually, you know, reference, like here, reference this other section. So large capacity ammunition feeding device, that term means A, magazine, belt, drum, feed, strip, or similar device that has a capacity of or that can be readily restored or converted to accept more than 10 rounds of ammunition, which is so ridiculous. B, does not include an attached tubular device designed to accept and capable of operating only with 22 caliber rimfire ammunition. The term National Guard has the meaning given in the term in Section 101C of Title 10. Person, the term person means any individual, partnership, corporation, company, association, firm, society, organization, or government entity, whether incorporated or unincorporated. Now, isn't that interesting? That's what a person can be. I mean, when we said this is how they work, man. You think when you're reading legislation and you see person, you don't think that a person is anything other than an individual, a person, a human being. But no. This definition is ridiculous. A partnership, a corporation, a company, association, firm, society, organization, or governmental entity, whether incorporated or unincorporated. Private paramilitary organization. The term private paramilitary organization means any group of three or more persons associating under a command structure for the purpose of functioning in public or training to function in public combat, combat support, law enforcement, or security services unit. Boy, I can foresee some problems there. Regularly organized state militia. The term regularly organized state militia includes a defense force authorized under Section 109C of Title 32. Let's see, how much more do we want to get into this here? But I'm sure you all can, you know, read through this bill even more than what I'm getting to. Unauthorized private paramilitary activity. It shall be unlawful to knowingly, in a circumstance described in subsection B, while acting as part of or on behalf of a private paramilitary organization and armed with a firearm, explosive, or incendiary device, or other dangerous weapon, publicly patrol, drill, or engage in techniques capable of bodily injury or death, interfere with, interrupt, or attempt to interfere with or interrupt government operations or a government proceeding, interfere with or intimidate another person in that person's exercise of any right under the Constitution of the United States, assume the functions of a law enforcement officer, peace officer, or public official, whether or not acting under the color of law, and thereby assert authority or purport to assert authority over another person without the consent of that person, or train to engage in any activity described in paragraphs 1 through 4. Circumstances described in this subsection are that the conduct described involves travel across a state line or national border, or the use of channels, facilities, or instrumentalities of interstate or foreign commerce, involves a firearm, explosive, or incendiary device, or dangerous weapon that has traveled in interstate or foreign commerce, involves the use of ammunition or other large-capacity ammunition-feeding device that has traveled in interstate or foreign commerce, obstructs, delays, or affects interstate or foreign commerce, or occurs wholly within any commonwealth, territory, or possession of the United States. Exceptions shall not apply to the armed forces of the United States, the National Guard, the naval militia, any regularly organized state militia, or any unorganized or reserve militia called into service by a state or the United States. Or two, another exception, a group of individuals who associate as a paramilitary organization solely for the purpose of historical reenactment or study, or parade in public as part of a bona fide veterans organization with no intent to engage in the activities prohibited by subsection A. Three, students in an educational institution authorized by the federal government or a state to teach military science as a prescribed part of the course of instruction when under the supervision of a military instructor. Or four, members of an organization that is authorized under federal or state law to provide paramilitary, law enforcement, or security services training, or to engage in paramilitary activity, law enforcement, or security services when performing the functions authorized by law, and in the case of paramilitary activity and law enforcement functions, when under the direction and control of a governmental authority. Then we can get into it if you want. And so here we go. So I'm going to go ahead, and with that, I'm sure we got some people that are going to want to comment on that. Gunslinger, you should raise your hand on this. But I'm going to go ahead and bring in, we got Montana Joe raising his hand. So I'm going to bring on him first and say hi. Hello, Joe. How you doing?
Hey, Lorraine. How are you doing?
Hey, doing pretty good. Just trying to cover the initial stuff for the show. It's going by pretty fast. A lot of stuff to cover today.
Yeah, I know. You got a secretary to help you out with that stuff?
No, I can't afford one. I'm my own secretary. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Daniel and Kathy as well. Hello, Daniel and or Kathy.
Hey, what's going
good to
on?
See
Are
ya.
Y'all doing okay?
We're hanging
hey,
in there. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Hey,
Mama's here, too. She's just not on right now.
Yeah,
oh,
I just said hi, Kat. So when she comes on, I'll talk.
She'll be on in just a second.
Awesome. All right, I'm bringing Mike on in as well. Hello, Mike. Greetings to you. Happy Sunday. Hello?
Happy Sunday. I got you.
Hey, yeah, everything's kind of sounded like drowned out, like you faded away or something. So, hey. So, Gunslinger, raise your hand when you're ready to talk. I'd love to get your comments on this on this bill, Preventing Private Paramilitary Act.
You know, I want to go back to the whole that the other thing about the private gun sales thing, right? You mentioned earlier. I've mentioned
the ATF wanting to change their regulations to include background checks for private gun sales. Yeah.
What that means is that if you decide that you're going to sell your gun, if you decide you're going to sell your gun to Montana Joe, you're going to have to do a gun, a check on Montana Joe.
Go and get your background check before I can sell you my gun, even though you're my friend and I know you.
what they want to do is, if you decide to leave your gun to a child or a grandchild or whatever, they want to make sure they can go after that child or grandchild. You know, if you child X or grandchild X gets the gun, and they say, "Oh, prove that he got the, prove that he got the gun." Well, did he go through background check? No, he's a family member, right? Well, they want everybody in the system. It doesn't matter if you bought it from a. They want to turn everybody into an FFL. That's what this
exactly.
is all about.
Oh yeah, when they want to use that information, they want to know. You know, our government wants to know anybody and everybody that has a gun. It's a registration process. I don't believe for a minute that they discard these background checks after, what is it, 90 days or whatever it is that they're supposed to dispose of it. I think they hang on to it. I think all that, every single background check is in a database so they know exactly who's buying guns. I agree with you there. I'm going to bring Boyd on in as he just raised his hand. Hey, ya, Boyd.
Hi there.
Hello.
I'll wait until you're done with this because I'm going to go back to your taxes.
And then I want to cover immigration.
Yeah, I covered, like, that isn't even, that's all the stuff that I could fit. Like, there's even more stuff that I could get into.
Well, I thought that
was a pretty good start. Like, I think I get everybody's motors turning with just what I laid out there to begin with.
Well, the problem with the rest of the stuff is the rest of that stuff we're probably not going to get around to.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, I got a quick one for Lori Ann, who was moaning about the child tax credits, you know, that she doesn't get them or whatever. But, you know, Lori Ann, and I think Montana Joe might even back me up on this. You know, you live in a free country and everything, and you're more than welcome to go out and get yourself pregnant and have a child so you can get your tax credits.
Yeah. Incentivize me to conform and have a kid, even if you don't really want one, but have a kid just so you could get the tax credits and survive. That makes sense.
Do
I don't
want to
be that kind of a person, though.
Do it for
just
the
like
country.
How I don't want to be a woman that has a kid from different men so I can get top child support from five different men and loop them in and you know, bog them down for the next 20 years in child support payments. I don't want to be one of those women either.
Yeah, but then, you know, you were complaining about not being able to go to work. You wouldn't have to go to work. You'd have all your work. You'd work from home.
I think I would lose my mind. There's a reason why I didn't have children. God bless all the women that do. But there's a reason why I don't have the patience for it, and I know it. I've always known it.
Okay.
So
well,
I'm probably doing the society a favor by never having children, put it that way.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm done jerking your chain. I just had to do it. You just left the door so wide open. I just had to go through it, you know. And tell you how screwed up you were and how you could simply get your tax credits and everything else. And, you know, otherwise, don't complain.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, but now I'm at that stage of life where even if I wanted to have a kid so I could get all the tax credits, it probably would not be wise for me to do so for my own health and also the health and success of the pregnancy because I am in reverse puberty right now. So I think that it would not be wise for me to do that just to get the tax credits.
But I hear you. You know, I could go out there. I could go out there and, you know, squirt out three or four kids and pay very little taxes for the next 18 years. But I'd rather not. I'd rather us not pay taxes at all. Let's not pay any income tax. That's an even better solution.
This is going to dovetail with Montana Joe. You know, he's, you know, we need to have you patriotically go out there and get pregnant children so that the Democrats can't change the demographics of the United States of America.
What happened
we need
here?
American
looks like Montana
kids.
Joe's call dropped and bringing him back on. Joe, did your app hang up on you again?
Yeah, I dropped again. Oh, Jesus. And all I did was move the phone.
Did you?
Yeah.
Are you still using that Wi-Fi?
Yeah. But
I told you to stop.
Yeah.
Stop using that.
What I'm gonna do? I know. Use a cell phone extender. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get two cans and put them together with copper wire and get a hamster, and I'll probably work better that way. So that's what I'm gonna do next week.
We do have a Skype number raised in their hand, so I want to find out who we got. I'm going to go ahead and bring you on Skype number 111. Who do we have? Hello, 111, you're on.
Skyper. Not really Skyper. It's a block number, but same thing. You're on. Oh, I forget it. He or she's getting a sandwich or...
Hello. Who do we got?
No, I had to fumble for my mute button. Sorry about that. Hey, guys, look here.
Hey, Sarge.
Hey, Joe.
Good.
Look, Lori, you lit the fire tonight. Look, Lori, I am amazed that you did not mention the GoSafe Act. You're not aware of that one?
The which act?
The GoSafe Act. In New Mexico, and GoSafe is an acronym for Gas-Operated Semi-Automatic Firearms Exclusion Act. It is the most sweeping restriction on a class of firearms that I have ever seen in any state legislation, and that includes California. It's a bill right now, they're proposing it, but it would essentially ban just about every semi-automatic centerfire firearm there is. That would include handguns, rifles, shotguns, you name it, if they're capable of holding more than 9 rounds of ammunition.
Yeah, so this is S.3369. I'm going to put a link to this legislation into the chat room since we are discussing it, and it looks like it was introduced November 30th, 2023. It is sponsored by Democrat from New Mexico, you know, Robert Garding's neck of the woods, Martin Heinrich. And let's see, Gas-Operated Semi-Automatic Firearms Exclusion Act.
Isn't that a cute name for it? Go Safe. Isn't that cute? They're so cute with these names,
yes,
aren't they?
Go Safe, yes. You'll be safe.
We're gonna go and be safe by taking away firearms from law-abiding citizens. That'll make us so much safer.
I love it. Yeah, I like these acronyms. They're always the opposite of what they purport to be.
Man, but look at it. Sooner or later, they're gonna get around to saying, well, we haven't gone far enough. Since every single bullet in a gun that uses smokeless or black powder is expelled by the action of a gas, by the burning of the propellant that propels the bullet down the barrel, they're gonna have to go further than just mechanisms that the gas operate. Now they're going to say, well, since the bullet is expelled by gas, I guess we're going to have to allow you to only use spring-loaded firearms like or rifles like, I don't know, Red Ryder guns. That's the only one they're going to be able to own.
Oh, Red Ryder. Oh, my God. That reminds me of my childhood about over 50 years ago when I used to see the...
Yeah, they were spring loaded. They used a spring to propel the projectile down the barrel or air. Air, really, pump it up. And you have enough air pressure stored to push the BB out the barrel. Well, that wasn't gas. That was just compressed air. Well, actually, a bullet with propellant uses the gas generated when the propellant burns. When the primer hits it and it sets off the propellant, it burns rapidly, creates a lot of pressure, and pushes the bullet down the barrel. So I guess that's the next gas-operated thing they're going to ban. That means any firearm that uses propellant to push a projectile down the barrel will be subject to their banning next.
They're going to essentially ban any gas operated, they're including blowback.
They're not including like with a gas system, like say the AR-15, which is used as a sort of a variation of the direct impingement system, or like the M1 Garand, which uses a proper gas operating system, or the M1 Carbine, which uses a short scope gas operated pistol system. They're including simple blowback operated firearms that just use blowback, like a 1911 45 handgun.
Yeah.
Well, they use a delayed recoil, so that wouldn't be. But say you got a pocket pistol, and a lot of like those pocket pistols that are chambered in 380, say 380 auto, they all blowback operate. They rely on the weight of the slide and the resistance of the recoil spring to slow down breech opening until the pressure in the barrel is dropped. They're literally blowback operated. Those ordinary handguns that could fit in your purse or in your pocket, if they hold more than 9 rounds, which many of them do, or most of them do, they'll be subject to the ban, too.
Now, is this federal, Sarge?
No, it's New Mexico. Lucian Griffin State, that lunatic woman who tried to just suspend the Second Amendment.
But it isn't the state. This is federal legislation being proposed by that New Mexico representative.
Wait a minute. I think, let me see.
I put a link to the text in the chat room. It's on Congress.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Right. It is a federal. Yeah, it is a federal. Excuse me. Yeah, they're New Mexico representatives, but you're right. It's a federal law. Oh, holy Christ. Well, I don't think it's got a chance of passing right now. It doesn't mean it won't, but right now, no, it ain't got a chance of passing in the House of Representatives.
Oh, no, it was proposed last year. So what they'll do, this particular bill probably won't go anywhere, but the writing's already there to incorporate it into a larger bill. You know, of
right.
course, sneak it in there, you know, so they'll make a new bill with another, good, pink elephants and rainbows kind of title to it, and they'll
right.
sneak this shit in there. That's what they do.
Well, it's even worse than the assault weapons ban in 1994. This thing is far more sweeping. The only firearms it doesn't affect are rimfire cartridges are not affected by this, like 22 rimfire, I guess, old cowboy, not centerfire, but, like the early Henry rifle used a rimfire cartridge. So if you got a semi-automatic rifle chambered in rimfire, which is kind of difficult to make work right, I guess that would be exempt. But just about every other semi-auto firearm you can think of that's capable of accepting a magazine that, remember, they use wording in a language, if it's capable of accepting more than a 10-round magazine, it is also covered by the ban. So you pretty much have to have a tubular magazine that's restricted in capacity. If it's detachable, hell, if you got a detachable magazine, every one of those weapons is capable of taking a magazine larger than 10 rounds if you can detach it.
Yep.
So this is sweeping legislation like I've never seen. I've never seen legislation this sweeping before.
I mean, they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop until even a six-shooter revolver is frickin' banned. You know, that's, they want to ban everything they can, and they're going step by step by step. And the minute we accept one, you know, okay, well, that's reasonable. Well, then, you know, give them an inch, they take them, they take 10 miles. That's what they do.
They sure
do. But again, what they don't understand, Sarge, is this law isn't going to stand up to Bruin.
Of course not. They want the Republicans to deny it, and so they can say that you really want people to be killed in semi-automatic firearm massacres. This is a campaign thing. They're trying to get the dumbass suburban women on board with this shit. Every little bit, they figure every little bit will help them.
Yep. I mean, think about it. What happened at that baseball game with Steve Scalise?
We know what happened. He used a KF semi-automatic rifle. With a, I believe he had modified it to use an extended magazine. The normal SKS has a 10-round magazine, but you can get conversions that adapt them to 30-round magazines. I think he was using one that had been modified in that way.
Yeah.
He was a Democrat, by the way. He was also a Democrat, the guy who did that shooting.
And then, of course. The whole thing, when Roe came down and the guy shows up at the Supreme Court Justice's house with a gun, you know, you can bet your bottom dollar that gun had more than nine, you know, rounds in that gun, you know.
Look, almost every single person who engages in these mass shootings, it's some variation of a leftist or progressive. Even what's his name in the Buffalo shooting, the racist who did the Buffalo shooting, he was a nutcase environmentalist and a veganist. And for the most part, he was he believed in many of the left-wing causes that these progressives espoused. In almost every case, their core belief system is some variation of leftism or progressivism. We need to ban guns from Democrats and leftists. That's what we need to ban the guns from.
Right, the guy who shot at Kyle Rittenhouse, or who was going to shoot at Kyle Rittenhouse, he was a Democrat as well, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a surprise.
Yeah,
that
was illegally in possession of the firearm, unlike Rittenhouse was.
And they didn't charge
hand,
him.
So
Laurie,
we got
Bianchi
in the house.
Laurie, they didn't charge him either. They didn't charge him with felon in illegal possession. They didn't charge him.
I know it. I guess they figured, you know, his arm being blown off was punishment enough.
Thank God that when New Orleans tried after Katrina to take everybody's guns, thank God the people of New Orleans stood up, you know, right after Katrina, you know. They tried to take everybody's guns in New Orleans right after Katrina happened, you know.
Well, the Congress passed a federal law saying it is illegal for any entity of government, state, federal, or local, to seize firearms in the wake of a disaster without a criminal probable cause. That's what the law says. It's illegal federally to do what they did in Katrina now.
Yep. And look, here's the deal. Think about this. You talked about the Henry rifle. What about the Remington? The old rifle that was on the Rifleman. You know, with the round magazine under the rifle, you can feed 9-10 bullets into that damn thing. You know.
That was a Winchester. I think it was a modified Winchester model 674. I think it was. But it uses centerfire cartridge though. That rifle uses centerfire, not a rimfire. The Henry used the rimfire cartridge. So that weapon would since the bullets didn't activate the system. The system is manually operated with the lever action, then it wouldn't be covered by this particular bill yet. Yet.
Yes. Well, we've seen.
I wanted to play this clip from Colio Noir because he discusses that California legislation to require background checks for ammo. Pretty short one. It's less than 5 minutes. On this discussion, so I think now would be a perfect time to play this, especially now that we got all of our 2A people pretty much in the queue right now. We got Pianki, we got Sarge, we got Gunslinger, who hasn't raised his hand yet, but perhaps he will. So I'm going to go ahead and play this. It's less than 5 minutes, but you might want to hear it if you haven't seen it. This is Colio Noir video on YouTube from 2 days ago. Here we go.
Imagine if tomorrow Joe Brandon Biden.
Joe Brandon, I agree.
Executed a law that required a background check every time he went to a gas station to pump gas. Better yet, imagine if he passed a law requiring a background check every time you needed to charge your Tesla at a charging station. That's exactly what California is trying to do with ammo. In 2016, the smooth brain voters of California passed Proposition 63, which required you to have a license to buy ammo. Then the California legislature thought, this law isn't bullshit enough. So they amended it and required that ammo sales be done face-to-face, and you have to pass a background check anytime you wanted to buy ammo. Oh, and the background checks, they aren't free. So you have to pay every time you buy ammo for a background check on top of what you're already paying for the ammo. So it's a bullet tax on top of another bullet tax. And people wonder why so many people are broke in California. You know what else isn't free? My brand new Stanley style 2A tumblers. Though they're not free, they are cheaper than the Stanley version, and they keep your drinks cold for 24 hours and your hot drinks hot for 12 hours. And instead of having a weird Illuminati looking bird bear wearing a crown logo on your tumbler, you can get your tumbler with any of the 2A designs available at shop.mrcolionnoir.com. So click the link in the description section and grab a tumbler or two. See what I did there? Okay, that actually was kind of freaking lame. But anyway, back to the news. Now, in April 2020, a federal judge issued a preliminary injunction.
What's that?
Basically, it's an order that prevents California from enforcing the law until there's a final decision on the case.
Oh, I get it.
Fast forward to January 31st, 2024. Being the constitutional guardian angel that he is, U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez ruled against the background check to buy ammo law for three main reasons. One, it violated the right to keep and bear arms, it violated the Commerce Clause, and it violated the Firearms Owners Protection Act. Now, here's what's absolutely mind-blowing about this particular case. The judge said the background checks have no historical pedigree and violate the Second Amendment by treating all citizens as having no right to buy ammunition. This historical pedigree language is from the recent Supreme Court case New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, Inc. v. Bruin, which established a new test to determine if a gun law violates the Second Amendment. Now, it evaluates gun laws based on the Second Amendment's text, history, and tradition to see if the law is consistent with the historical traditions of firearm regulations. California was so desperate and had so few legs to stand on that in an attempt to establish that the ammunition background check requirement has a historical basis, California cited 50 laws restricting or prohibiting the transfer of a firearm or ammunition to slaves, blacks, Native Americans, mixed race, and other minorities as justification for their law.
Wait, what?
Yes, you heard that right. The ultra-liberal, super-woke, social justice warrior haven that California is tried to use old racist gun control laws to justify their current gun control laws. What was it again that Malcolm X said about liberals again?
There are many whites who are trying to solve the problem, but you never see them going under the label of liberals. That white person that you see calling himself a liberal is the most dangerous thing in the entire Western Hemisphere. He's the most deceitful. He's like a fox. And a fox is always more dangerous in the forest than the wolf. You can see the wolf coming. You know what he's up to. But the fox will fool you. He comes at you with his mouth shaped in such a way that even though you see his teeth, you think he's smiling. You take him for a friend.
Now, the court also found that the case violated the Commerce Clause and the Firearm Owners Protection Act because the in-state transaction requirement was designed to benefit California vendors at the detriment of out-of-state vendors. And it finally found that the requirement that individuals buy the ammo in-state was preempted by the Firearms Owner Protection Act, which allows individuals to transport firearms and ammunition across state lines under certain conditions. Now, of course, California is going to appeal this decision, but they actually had the audacity to ask Judge Benitez if they could enforce the ammo background check law while the case was going through the appellate process. But instead, Judge Benitez enjoined the ammo background check law, which is a nice legal way of saying, "F off."
Respectfully.
So, in the meantime, Californians are free to buy ammo without a background check until we get another ruling. If you want to hear Kurt Russell tell a Hollywood reporter pushing gun control to essentially f*** off, click this video and don't forget to comment, like, share, and subscribe to the channel. And make sure you hit the bell symbol so you're notified when I upload another video.
Which, by the way, I also have his video on Kurt Russell.
You give me a kiss.
In this interview, ripping him on gun control. So what do y'all think about that? So they're so fucking desperate to establish, you know, that this was a common thing, you know, due to the Bruin test, that they're pulling out these, you know, anti-black, anti-slavery gun laws to establish their precedent. It's like, oh, my God. That's how desperate they are.
Hurry up.
And when we think all gun control is racist, this is exactly an example of it.
Democrats always revert to their traditions, man. They just can't help themselves.
We better hurry up and get that Article 5 passed and amend the Constitution, make it perfectly clear on the Second Amendment.
It's already perfectly clear. We got people who just think they should disregard it. Shall not be infringed. How much more clear can you get than that? They just don't care that it says that.
And these bureaucrats, we need to get that Article 5 the way it is on the proposal to limit the term of not only your Congress people, but also the heads of these bureaucrats, like the AFT, DEA, IRS, EPA, all those alphabet organizations.
Yeah, Pianki, well, that's a Chevron deference. That's folded into that Chevron deference rubric that the courts have given deference to bureaucratic decisions by bureaucratic administrators as they, quote, interpret the law as they seek to apply it. But that's coming under severe question right now, particularly with regard to pistol braces on things that ATF wants to call short barrel rifles and forced reset triggers. And that's come under severe scrutiny recently as a result of all the abuses by the ATF and by like the EPA and other of these federal bureaucratic agencies.
And these bureaucrats, they need to be gone after 24 years, as we're trying to propose now. They're in there for too long. And when they're in there that long, they develop a clique. They develop a fifth column and all those negative things that we see working against the liberties and rights of American citizens that's spelled out in the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, guys, all this stuff with these administrators and stuff like that all started way back when in the so-called progressive era with Woodrow Wilson, because one of his favorite books was this thing called Philip Drew, Administrator. And what that book is about is basically delegating the power to these administrators to these people that aren't elected, right? That's what that book is about, and that's where that started at. You know, and
that's what that paragraph is on the bottom of each and every bill that goes through Congress, that the secretary will write up the regulations and the rules to enforce this law.
Yep.
Yeah, so that reminds me, we wanted to get back to the APF. APF preparing to regulate private gun sales with background check, whistleblower group, and Legit. The whistleblower group that presented the IRS agents in the Hunter Biden case is warning that the Biden administration is preparing an unconstitutional power grab to regulate private gun sales by requiring a background check. In a letter Wednesday to Attorney General Merrick Garland, Empower Oversight said it had learned from two sources that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives was directed by the White House to make the change and, quote, has drafted a 1,300-page document in support of a rule that would effectively ban private sales of firearms from one citizen to another by requiring background checks for every sale. Empower Oversight said it believes that only Congress can make such a change because a 1986 law it passed explicitly forbade background checks for gun sales between private individuals. Such an expansive rule that treats all private citizens the same as federal firearms licensees would circumvent the separation of powers in the Constitution, which grants all legislative powers to Congress while requiring that the president take care that laws be faithfully executed. To the extent such a rule prevents the private sale of firearms, it would also clearly violate the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, which declares that as the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Empower Oversight said the rule could also lead to clashes between ATF agents and private citizens, citing two violent tragedies from the 1990s that began with federal raids. The lessons of the Ruby Ridge and Waco standoff should make clear that attempting to enforce such an expansive regulation could endanger countless ATF field agents who are forced to serve as the face of the Biden administration in going after private firearm owners for constitutionally protected firearm sales, it warned. And the article goes on. I'm going to put that in the chat as well. What do y'all think about that?
You know what we think about that. We think it's tyranny.
1,300 pages? I mean, that's what blows my mind. 1,300
pages. 1,300
pages
of tyranny.
Why would it take 1,300 pages to do this rule? That's nuts.
These people, they never stop. They never stop. They don't care what the sports say. They just come up with a slightly different variation and say this time, this unconstitutional understanding of Heller, McDonnell, and Braun, this one's going to work. We just shifted words around a little bit, come up with a slightly different face on it, and voila, we got a law that'll stand constitutional scrutiny. And there's, you know, like these people, man. They're just fanatics.
Yep.
Hopefully Gunslinger will raise his hand soon. Well, I tell you guys, Gunslinger, I know we're speaking for Gunslinger, although I'd like to hear what he has to add to this mix. But I'm telling you, man, every constitutionally law-abiding citizen understands what's at stake here. We got petty tyrants like the little wench in New Mexico, and we got these other fools like Mark Kelly in the Senate and all these others. I mean, you know, they're playing to their base. They know it's not likely to get past a House of Representatives. Even there's a few Democrats who won't vote for this. And I think just about all Republicans won't vote for it. But like I said, they wanted it as a campaign issue that they can run on.
and appeal to the daffy, addled, suburban wives, women out there that might fall for this crap. Oh, you're going to make us safe, bro? Yeah, please do this. Yeah, we want to be safe. Not realizing that almost every single one of these things, these shootings are done by people who are not legally allowed to own guns in the first place. And when it comes to semi-automatic rifles, they are not even 1% of all the murders and homicides out there. I'm talking about shoulder-fired rifles. Out of the 18,000 or so homicides every year, less than 1,000 are done with rifles of any type, and I'm including the massacres. I mean, rifles of any type. That includes so-called assault rifles. Shotguns, long arms, bolt-action rifles, lever-action rifles, single-shot rifles, double, over, and under rifles. I don't care what kind of rifle it is. Less than 1,000 people are murdered with these guns every year. More people are killed by fists and feet than are killed by rifles of all types. Literally, what are they going to do, amputate our hands and feet? I'm supposed to probably think about that too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Look, there are people.
I'm bringing Ron Rick on in. We got Ron Rick in the house.
First off, let me bring this up to your attention real quick on this gun control law bullshit. It's also illegal to jack off with your right hand when your left hand is tired, okay? So that's against the law that you get back on tape to do that, too. Just to put that out there. You know, and another thing, you know, the city of New York has got these congestion cameras up now, big, massive amount of them, all over the fucking place. So anytime you come to congest there, it's $15 for a regular car, $25 for a truck. So if you come in and out of that fucking zone, you're getting charged every fucking time you come in and out of this motherfucker. You want to talk about money grab, you know? But the gun regulations, too, man, this is all a bunch of bullshit. I seen a case last year. The guy was an ex-felon, okay? But he wasn't a violent felon. He was under some bullshit charge of whatever, theft or something like that. Well, he got busted with a gun, okay, in his home, okay? And he won the case. They couldn't do nothing to him. Because technically he did his time, whatever he did, probation or whatever he had at the time, completed it, and he argued the fact that he done paid for his crime. So it's paid in full, okay? Which it kind of astounded me. What do you mean paid in full? So, but technically, legally, he's legal. He should have the right to own a gun, period. Doesn't matter if he's a felon or not. If he's paid his debt to society, the felony shouldn't matter. And he won the case. Okay? So, you know, the thing is, look at the amount of people that are charged with felonies in this country. I mean, look at the amount of them. We're talking, what is it, 7 out of 10 people will have a felony charge against them? So, it doesn't mean everybody that has a felony is a bad person. I defend them. But there are some that should not. But most of these mass killings we've ever had in this goddamn country were fuckers that had no fucking criminal background at all. You know? So what the fuck's up with that? So how does that make any sense? You know, nobody has the right to protect yourself? Just because you broke the fucking law means you can't protect yourself no more. Even though the goddamn Constitution guarantees you have the right to do that. Right? Am I right or wrong? I mean, I don't know what you guys' opinion is on this, but that's just the way I see it, man. It's bullshit.
You're right, Ron. You're absolutely right. But, you know, and I really object to laws that do not restore all your constitutional rights once mm-hmm. you have served your time and you're no longer on probation, supervision, or parole. I think you mm-hmm. should have all your rights restored. But the regime we're living in today says that if you're a convicted felon, you're prohibited possession in just about every state in the union. And these mm-hmm. are the people who tell us we have to abide by these gun control laws so goddamn much. And when I was a police officer, the first thing they always dropped to get a plea bargain was the gun charges.
Mm-hmm.
It used to bug the hell out of me. Yep. I mean, there's no consistency in these people. They want to aim mm-hmm. these laws at the law-abiding, not really the criminals.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at the cop guys.
That's just the regime we got.
Exactly. But look at the cop guys. They asked me about illegal immigrants. They let them cops like pop out right at my hour later. Me, you did
mm-hmm.
it. We're done. We're done. We're fucked.
We
get
amen.
Out of fucking jail, man. You know, that's bullshit, too. And they're
yeah,
invading this country. This country is under a fucking, what do you call it, man? Siege? I mean, it's just fucking insane. And now these motherfuckers are becoming the enemies. Now, I look at the part of this. Is the Democratic Party or the politicians, all the politicians alone, just become enemies of the people? You know? Or Texas governor has to protect his own fucking border because the federal government says it's okay to bring these motherfuckers through? Come on, man. This is bullshit. What does that mean, you? And people, you know, and then I see these ads for Biden. You know, come on and donate some money to me. If it's just $1, every little bit helps. Well, fuck, why the fuck would I give you money when you're fucking my country up? Why would I pay to do that? You know what I mean?
Amen.
But yes. Like I said, it's the same thing with the cameras in New York, man. That's some fucking bullshit. That is not even constitutionally right. We had cameras in Springfield, Missouri. And they fought those fuckers that was unconstitutional and won that case, too. But now they put up these new flock cameras. Oh, they're just plate readers. Get the fuck out of here. You know? It's just a way to generate money. It ain't to protect nobody. It's all about money. You know, like Laurie just put in there about, you know, how we can't pay enough money in taxes to pay the fucking interest on the federal money. Of course not. That's what they want. The Federal Reserve owns this fucking country. They own it. The bankers, they own this motherfucker. They are the ones that rule us. That's the ruling class in this country is your bankers. They run this fucking show. I guarantee that. And Joe Biden is one of theirs. He's owned by them. He's controlled by them, and that's that. There's no other way around that. Of course,
yeah.
You know, you're talking out of your fucking mind. Well, why is this shit happening then? Explain that. Then nobody can come up with a fucking answer, you know? It drives me nuts. Oh,
yeah.
God, this past week, all my heads have been great. But anyway. I'm good.
Hey, Ron, there's a reason why Delaware is a credit card capital in the United States, because a lot of the legislation that Joe Biden helped pass benefits these
mm-hmm.
banks and these credit institutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. Exactly. I mean, like I've been preaching about digital currency for years, you know. I posted on Facebook recently about how are you going to use digital currency when the light goes out? You know?
Exactly, yeah.
So,
and we got Joe Gibson raising his hand, so I'm going to go ahead and bring on Mr. Gibson.
Yes.
Hello, hello.
How are you guys doing?
Welcome
yeah, you're absolutely
to the
correct.
Craziness.
Yeah, that's a good subject there about the records of people, you know, and all the people in the United States that have records already. You know, you can't walk out your front door without breaking a code or a statute. I mean, when you think about it. So, the bottom line is this: is that it's all about them as building a profile and keeping your name in all these think tanks and NSA tanks that have these facial recognition that they're setting up. That's already set up in New York City and a lot of big cities around the country and airports. I mean, this is all ridiculous. They're scanning your scan, all this scans, and people love it. They love it. Oh, I would love to be chipped. I'd like to have a microchip put in my right hand. You know, it's convenient. It's quicker. You know, I mean, people like that. Just like the mask thing. I love wearing a mask. It's safe. You know, people just love being controlled. They love being told what to do. It makes them feel safe. It makes them feel good. Someone's out there protecting them when they're not. They're destroying you. It's a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And you got to stop it. Stop it.
Oh, yeah,
that's
but,
one of
you
the,
know,
that's,
they're doing
that's,
the right thing. They're helping
that's,
humanity.
That's one of the reasons why I won't use that facial recognition on my phone so I can get into it. Because then they'll have a record of my face.
They done got it.
Oh, your phone
they
is being listened
it.
To. They listen to your phones. They listen to your phones
yeah,
all the time.
They done got your
phone.
You got facial recognition you all over the fucking place. As soon as you walk in a fucking Walmart, they got you.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know what other country? You know country who's one that gave birth to this shit? China. But
yeah.
China did it. So anytime
everyone
you think of this
TVs,
shit, but China.
Remember when I had all the TVs at Walmart, all the flat screen TVs, all with Janet Reno up there? See something, say something. You know, remember that with the Homeland Security crap? You know, the message about, you know, after 9/11, how we had to clamp down and watch everything, and if you see something, report it. You know, that's a bunch of garbage, man, garbage. You know, you don't have to call the police. Go ahead.
But then there's a Patriot Act. Now you became the fucking enemy. You did
nothing wrong.
It's your country, but you're the fucking enemy now.
Yep.
Called the Patriot Act. You know, Obama, it expired. Obama upped it back up, you know.
Well, everyone's got this habit, too, of calling the police for everything. Now, call 911. Call 911. I don't need 911. You know, we can handle this ourselves. You know, that's the problem. Don't call the police for anything.
Yeah, like, oh, my God, my neighbor's dog is barking. I better call the fucking police on him instead of, like, I don't know, maybe, like, knocking on the neighbor's door and politely saying, you know, hey, your dog's, you know, been barking for the last half hour. You know, can you bring your dog into the house? You know, maybe try to handle it yourself instead of, you know, cops on you, on everybody all the time. You know, what is that about, you know?
And the police come out, and it puts the cops in a bad situation because they're like babysitters, you know. I mean, that's not what their job is supposed to be. You know, you don't need to stop abusing the services out there, too. I mean, people have to hear these messages and wake people up. I mean, when I'm in a grocery store line or if I'm standing in line someplace, I always am running my mouth about something. You know, that about the prices, about the gas, about something that's going on. Because I want them to know. When they see me coming, they're going to be like, oh, no, here he comes again.
Absolutely.
I want them to remember.
On that note, oh, shit, here he comes again. Gunslinger is raising his hand, so I'm bringing him on in.
yeah, man, that's right. Joe, I do the same thing. I see people at Walmart, Kmart, wherever the fuck I'm at. Well, Kmart's not around anymore. But the grocery store is so important. I tell people, fuck the way it is. I don't care. People need to know this shit. Because the fucking problem is the American people are blinded. They don't know. They have no clue the reality. They only see the artificial world. They don't see the real world. You know what I mean? It's the sad part about it. They're fed all this propaganda bullshit through the television and the fucking media. You know, they're believing it. Oh, CNN tells nothing but the fucking truth, you know?
Oh, the media.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that proved to me
the media, with my news stories this the past couple of weeks, they told flat-out lies, man. Flat-out lies.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Give me 1 second to talk, you know? Three words I got to say in the whole interview.
So, like, Trump did it. He iced it. I liked it when he started bringing up the fucking fact of fake news. It took them a while. It took people a long while, but they finally caught on what he meant. You know, they're catching on. Oh, okay, I see this shit. Okay, now, okay. But before years ago, never. Nobody ever got caught onto that shit. Nobody. They had the perfect fucking storm going on, man. We can tell these motherfuckers anything, they're exactly what we want. That's it, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, you don't stand a chance when you go to the courts anymore to fucking fight a case. You just don't. You know, if I ever go to court again for any fucking reason, first thing I'm going to judge, how much money do you want? Because it always turns out you want money, you know?
Yep. That's right. Who are
you protecting? Nobody.
Win.
He's
you
the victim
win.
Of the state. Well, I have won a lot of cases, but the point being, the reason why I have done that is because the simple fact is I've called them out on their bullshit. You know, I expose fucking...
If you do that, then you have a chance. But if you go in there and play their game, you, like you said, it's all about the money in the end. Unless
you
committed a very serious crime.
You are giving them
consent.
And 90% of every motherfucker sitting in the penitentiary now today is a volunteer.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't understand what I mean by that. But it's a goddamn fact. Like I said, my last ticket I got was an insurance ticket. And I went in there and just goes, how do you plead? I said, I don't. He goes, I'll interplead for you. I said, I object. He goes, why? I said, well, either you're making a judicial determination, I'm not guilty of the charge, or two, you're practicing law from the bitch. That pissed off that judge. There's nothing he could do. He couldn't do nothing. He can get mad as he wants. He just screamed contempt of court, but I ain't committing contempt of court. He said that. I said, no, I'm not finished. I object to that, too. I'm not simply contempt of court. I'm just simply stating fact.
You know what really
either
gets me?
Either you are making a judicial determination, I'm not guilty, or you're practicing law from the bitch by suggesting it.
You know what really gets me? The 13th Amendment.
He's a goddamn attorney.
The 13th Amendment, attorneys cannot run for public office, according to the 13th Amendment. You cannot.
They do all that.
You know?
They do it all the time.
So they swear an oath. They swear an oath to the bar, a foreign mm-hmm. corporation.
That's right. The registry. Right.
At the Global mm-hmm. in London, yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got disciplinary committees for judges and lawyers. I said, fuck them. Get a hold of the bar. Get a hold of the bar. You want to fuck them up? Get a hold of the bar. Send them
yeah,
a letter.
Yeah.
Publish yep. it. Fuck it. Post it. Social media all over the place. You want to fucking get at them.
Like they said, they practice law. They're not in law. They're at law. They tell you right out there. They're at law, not in law.
Right. 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 Exactly. That's right. You know, and as I further on with this case, I demanded a motion here. Demanded it because I'm in control. You know, I have constitutional rights still. You know what I mean? I didn't give consent to these motherfuckers to go ahead and break me like they do to everybody else. But as soon
yeah.
as you flee, you just gave them jurisdiction over you. And people are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you've done. You agree.
Or a lawyer. Once you hire a lawyer, that's it. That lawyer, now you're in the ward of the court. That lawyer can only – you
can't right,
speak
because
no more.
He's an officer of the court. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. And he ain't in there to help you. He's in there to help them first. Court first, you last. They're going to suck you out of money. All I did is to fuck you out of money. Because lawyers, they love fucking out of money. They have a license to steal money, and so does the court when it comes down to it. You know, I got a case I'm working on right now. The courts came back, motherfucker. 28 years later, says he owes $435 fucking dollars in fines. 28 years later, he sent the fucking.
I watched a documentary. I watched a documentary this morning, actually, about the Innocence Project and all the people mm-hmm. that were wrongly convicted 22 years, 25 years, and
uh-huh.
really almost brought tears to my eyes because I know what they went through. I know what it's like to be in
mm-hmm.
those boxes, in those cages, man, year
mm-hmm.
after year
mm-hmm.
after year. And, you know, and you're supposed to be let go, you know, and they don't let you go. And it's just, I understand that. And it's wrong. It's wrong. And they
mm-hmm.
should be compensated for that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know a case, a guy got like 40 years in prison, and he did it, okay? He was in there for train robbery, all right? That's where he's in the car. His parole conditions, when he got out of fucking jail, he gets a horse, a saddle, a gun, and a gold piece. That was a
yeah, that's an old law.
Parole.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
yeah.
Right. So anyway, he gets out of fucking prison, okay, and this is like in the 70s. Anyway, he gets out of fucking prison, he gets a fucking $50 check and a fucking bus ticket. Well, the old guy sued
yeah.
the state. He sued the state for the horse, the gun, the gold piece, and the saddle, right? Well, believe it or not, he won. Anyway, the state is like $6-7 million fucking dollars. Well, he got some money and gave it to some fucked up charity and he died. He gave it to some legal charity to help, you know, help people out. I thought that was
yeah.
so funny. You know, you sorry motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They don't care, man. It's
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
They don't care. You know, I'm like, all these illegal aliens come in this country, we're going to be at a fucking war. I'll tell you right now. It's coming.
Yeah.
And they want us
yeah.
to all die so they can cut down the population. They get more,
mm-hmm.
their supposed excuse is more fucking voters. That ain't right. That's way wrong. You know, we're talking 33 million motherfuckers just walked into this country from all over the world, and most of them released out of prisons. They're coming here
yeah.
to fuck this shit up. That's what's going to happen. So take away the people's guns, regulate and rule them, and don't regulate and rule these motherfuckers. Otherwise, it's okay for them to do whatever they want to fucking do and fuck you because you're an American. So,
yeah.
And for example, like I said, when that cop got his ass in New York last week and then let the motherfuckers out, nobody posted a bond for him. They let him go. No, thanks for
yeah.
the cop's ass. Have a nice day. Here's your debit card for X amount of fucking thousands of dollars, which that's coming out through New York. Then I mean, how many fucking thousands of dollars out there to give out debit cards to these motherfuckers? And at the same
right.
time, throw the kids out of school to house these motherfuckers? You
yeah.
sorry fuckers. You're a sad case to fucking be existing. You know what I mean? Wow.
They are committing treason. Contempt of Constitution
oh,
all day long.
It's beyond that, Joe. It's beyond that. It is. It's beyond that.
Yeah. I know I'm pissed off.
I am going to interrupt for just a moment. We have 10 minutes left of the live broadcast already. Boy, that flew by. 10 minutes left of the live broadcast. So if you're out there and you're listening and you want to continue when we go into the bonus hour, you need to call in within the next 9 minutes, 45 seconds, 563-999-3698.
That way you can continue to listen or join the conversation with, as we go into the bonus hour. But please call in within the next 9.5 minutes. And so we have Cinnamon. I see you. Cinnamon has been kicking back listening. If Donnie's out there, Donnie should probably call in too in case he wants to chime in later as we go into overtime. And so, yeah, we got quite the crew in, which is awesome. And, of course, there's a couple of other clips that I have in mind to play as well at some point if we can get to it tonight. But since Joe Gibson is on, I wanted to try and bring up that election integrity article that I mentioned earlier. The article, Election Integrity Watchdog Recommends 14 Reforms for States to Improve Election Security. The Honest Elections Project releases its report on 14 election reforms that states should make to protect the integrity of elections. let's see. I'm just going to scroll down. I'll put this article into the chat room here real quick as well so that you all can look at the full article if you like. But I will scroll down to the 14 reforms that states should make are ban ranked choice voting, block Zuckbucks 2.0 and other private election funding schemes, stop foreign influences in elections, require transparency and robust post-election audits of election processes and procedures, ban non-citizen voting in all elections, consolidate election dates, ensure that elected lawmakers write election laws, require prompt and accurate election results, maintain clean and accurate voter rolls, protect the integrity of the voter registration process, secure early and mail voting laws, protect vulnerable mail ballots, require voter ID for every ballot, and investigate and prosecute election crimes. So there's the summary. And, of course, the report goes into more detail, and I did put the link to that in the chat. And it's also on my Lucid Libertarian Facebook page as well, of course. So what do you think about that? I think some of these things match up pretty well with what Joe Gibson and I worked on a while back with our election integrity laws. Of course, we went a bit further with that in ours as well. We got it we got into the voting machines. We proposed maintaining the voting machine records, so that they're not destroyed. Paper ballots, only paper ballots, or if you use an electronic voting machine, that you, as a voter, you get a copy of the votes that machine registered for you.
We have to monitor everything.
And so that way you can confirm that your votes were recorded correctly. And, we got into it even more. Yeah, go ahead, Gibson.
I got a question, though, Lori.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I want to ask one question before you start, Joe. Did you also include forbidding universal mail-in balloting and only allowing particularized mail-in balloting for people with special cases?
Yeah, we addressed that. We addressed the mail-in and absentee ballots and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, we put that in our list. I don't have the list in front of me.
No universal mail-in balloting. Is that in there, too?
Oh, yeah, we addressed that, of course.
Okay.
And none of that cloud stuff either, over the internet. I mean, we addressed all that. So, the most important thing, though, is transparency and allowing the general public at their will, when they want to monitor the electors and the process of the election, and, right down to where they're counted and given all out to the press, the numbers. I mean, that is the most important thing. And you have that right to monitor these people at the polls. You go vote. If you want to hang around for a half an hour and watch the process, you should have that right. Anybody tells you got to leave? No. No. Then that's when you get these Rangers or militia or whatever you got to get together and shut that place down. I don't care what's got to be done. We need to monitor these elections in 2024. We're not going to let the same crap happen again that it happened in 2020. You know, go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, one president's elected, and wake up, another one's elected, you know?
Absolutely. I'm going to put the link to the document that Gibson and I worked on a while back. So go ahead and so that people can pull it up and take a look at what we wrote up. And so we got pretty detailed.
Yeah, it's still good to access it.
Let me know if you have any problems accessing it, but I did just put the link into the chat.
It should be forwarded to all your state election boards. Everybody who's on this podcast or listens to this podcast or my podcast should be copying that and at least sending out an email when they get the time to the state board elections or, you know, or a representative in their district and let them know. You know, I mean, that's what our drive was, and I know we did get a little momentum there where some people did do it. I know I did it. I called them live on my podcast even, you know. So to ask questions about it. And I know, you know, nothing really got done, but we did put a bug up their ass and let them know we're watching, you know, and we have to let them know. Because when we sit back and lay and do nothing, remember, evil flourishes when good men do nothing. So we can't sit back and allow any type of darkness to overcome this or shadow our elections. Because if we don't have honest elections, we have nothing in this country, nothing. Nothing to look forward to at all. Because it's all rigged and done with, and just shut the doors, close the coffin doors, put the nails in it, and bury us. We're done. The republic's over. If we can't have honest elections, you know.
Hey,
I mean.
Hey, but we're free. Remember that. Let's keep that tone now. We're free.
But
and we
we're
got backup.
Free.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
hell
sure.
Yeah.
We're free.
We're only free to comply. That's all we have the freedom to do is comply.
Yep.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and mutilate the sexual organs. You can do that too. That's free to do that. Yeah.
The only thing
yeah,
you're free to do is shit, piss, and procreate. That's it. That's only three things you get. Free. That's it. Shit, piss, mm-hmm. and fuck. That's it. And they're going to outlaw fucking pretty soon. Guarantee it.
They're not going to.
The child credits.
Ron.
But
Ron,
all that means to carbon emitters who pollute the atmosphere.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah,
they're not going to outlaw. They're not going to outlaw fucking. All they're going to do is tax. They're going to tax.
Well, yeah, but they want a background
and a
check.
Background.
Though.
They'll be.
They want to ID that sperm.
A background check.
Yeah, out of all the millions of sperms you inject into the vagina, they want to ID each one of them motherfuckers. They want their DNA tests. They want it all.
Yep.
They want to have birth control designer
bio bugs.
Absolutely. I want a blonde haired motherfucker with a 5 foot dick. That's what I want.
And
look at that.
I got sperm with an individual tag for each one of your spermatozoa.
That's right.
I got to say, I'll say this to everybody. You know what? I'm sorry I ever worked for these people, this government, in any type of organization, group, or operations that I performed with these people. Even when I did recently with the DEA, you know, my dad told me before he passed away, he goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Didn't you learn your lesson the first time?" And I should have listened to him, you know. But you think you're doing the right thing. You think you're doing, you know, you're trying to help. And the thing of it is, the system is so corrupt and broken. Like you were talking about the CIA earlier. You know, I had connections with them. And, you know, you're right. It's just corrupt. It's greed. It's immoral.
Oh, yeah.
It takes away the freedom of the people.
It's dirtier than you think. And the people actually realize it's so fucking dirty. I mean, there is no such thing as freedom in this country. You know, and like this, these fucking immigrant fuckers coming here now are realizing that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're already knocking on people's fucking doors, wanting food and clothes and all shit like that. And now they're going to start robbing fucking people. That's next.
Because that money runs out.
So,
that money runs out.
Exactly. You know, the other thing, the federal government ain't pumping up that money like they used to. That's like, you know, for the police and the prisons and all that shit, they ain't spending that money like they used to. They're not doing it. That's why they're cutting fuckers. They're defunding the police. You know, they're doing that. We don't hear about it, though.
Yeah.
We don't hear about that shit.
The jails and prison system, penal institutions are outdated. We live in a different type of world in society today. They should be, most of them have to be revamped and rethought of how we punish people and whatnot. Because the majority of the people that are in jail, I mean, there are people that belong away from society. I mean, there are sick people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, they're bad.
No doubt about it. Right. Violent
but,
people,
know,
sick people, they need to put away. But, you know, the guy sitting in there for not paying child support is bullshit.
He's sitting in a cell.
So,
He's sitting in a cell. A guy who didn't pay his court fine. He's sitting in a cell with a guy doing 99 years for raping three women. You know? Come on, man.
Right. Right. The guy that raped the three women is getting out next month. You know? So, you see what I mean? That's true. It's fucked up as I've ever seen it. I mean, you know, matter of fact, we had a case here in Missouri a couple years ago. This drunk driver guy, he's like 20-something years old, young guy, saying, hit this cop car. It was sitting parked, hit this cop car, and it killed the ride-along guy that was a fireman, an EMT, okay? He was riding along with this cop. Anyway, he got killed, okay, in this car accident. Well, the guy got 14 years for involuntary manslaughter, okay? Now, he's not going to do that 14 fucking years. It ain't going to happen. He might do 85% of that 14 years.
Yeah.
You know, he'll get out maybe 12, 11 years.
Some states are 50%, yeah. Some states are 50, yeah.
Well, Missouri's 85, you know.
Yeah.
So, but here's the other problem. We don't have enough prisons to fill these motherfuckers. That's why you got all these private institutions that popped up. Remember that shit? And that shit happened with Missouri, in my state.
Yeah.
When it was in Texas, with companies in Texas, and they were sending prisoners from Missouri there, and they abusing the prisoners. Shoving mop handles up their assholes, all kinds of crazy shit, man.
That's the thing,
up.
Man. They're not correctional institutions. They're warehouses.
No, they're private. Yeah, the American Correctional Institute of America, some shit like that. But they're a private company. But here's the deal. These companies took advantage of the fucking fact, hey, the states need room. They ain't got room for all these prisoners. We need fucking for housing. Then you got that one case, well, I can't remember where it was at, what state it was in. It was Chilling for Cash or something like that, where the judges are sending these kids to fucking this juvenile facility that the county fucking just broke a deal with these private fucking individuals to fucking, you know, put kids in jail. You know, juvenile home, okay? And these kids were doing, like, miss a day of school or some shit and get 30 fucking days. And one kid killed himself, and the mother was at there. She was in the news and everything, screaming, this judge, you killed my son, you motherfucker. And, boy, she was taking this guy apart. Anyway, both of them judges got life. They got life for this shit, which is good. That's good. But cash for kids is what it's called. Cash for kids. That's what it was.
I don't like seeing that kids getting put in those situations, man, because it's bad, man. It's a jungle in those places, man. Ugh.
Right. They don't care about them kids. They don't care about nobody in them fucking, you know, third-party fucking correctional centers. They're owned by a private corporation. They don't have to go by
the
standards
of the
state office.
Yeah. There's no place to hide, no place to run in there, man. You know,
right,
you're in
right.
there. That's a whole other world.
Right. You're going to get fed just enough to keep you alive. That's it.
Yep.
I mean, that's how tight them folks. And plus, they hire anybody to hire for working in fucking places.
Right.
So nobody's been trained. So,
Gladiators.
You
know, what happened at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School with the fucking guy who went in there and shot up that high school, right? You know, the guy was a criminal in training, and they kept him in that school because there was a law passed or a rule passed or whatever it was by Obama that they didn't want all these thugs in training, like fucking what's his name, to be kicked out of school and go to juvenile hall. They wanted them in school, right? So they go and they put this guy back in school, and what happens? He does something, gets kicked out, and comes back and shoots up the damn school. You know.
Yeah, but you don't know that a lot of this stuff is mind control. That's another thing with the CIA and these other operations that they do. You know, with these school shootings, a lot like that Sandy Hook thing. It was dirty. Something was going on there. I mean, you know, they put these mind control. You don't know what kind of – you just don't know what evil thing is going on, you know. I mean, some of that stuff was dark, evil. I mean, it just did not make sense, some of these school shootings back when Obama was president. I mean, they were really pushing for gun control. And I'm telling you, a lot of that stuff was probably secret operations. I mean, I don't know. It just seemed very odd the way things went down. I mean, I went to Sandy Hook. I went up there where they tore down the school and everything because I'm from Connecticut. So I went up there right after the shooting, and they tore down that school quick. And let me tell you something. That town was weird. You know, it seems like everybody walking around that town was like a zombie. You know, and it was really strange. It just, you got that vibe, you know, like these people aren't for real. You know? I mean,
have any of you guys seen the Tranny Festo yet? I'm still waiting to see the Tranny Festo that the FBI sees from them coppers. Has anybody seen it yet?
No.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Tranny Festo, that manifesto of that transvestite that shot up the school full of kids, the Tranny Festo. Remember,
when they found the sneakers too that didn't match, the shoes didn't match too on the shooter. Yeah, that was
what
you're talking about.
At any rate, whatever she wrote, they've been keeping a lid on and not releasing it so the public can see it. Has anyone seen it or know what it says?
No, it's just like the Colorado shooting. You know, the guy was supposed to be the Joker. Where did Joker didn't have that color hair. You know, what are you talking about? You know, so, you know, it's very strange, very, very strange, some of those shootings back during that time, about 4 or 5 years ago. Remember all the school shootings? Remember, you couldn't turn off the TV without the school shooting, you know? So it's just very odd.
Oh, man, well, I'm telling you, there's something really rotten afoot with all of this.
Look how fast they cleaned up 9/11. You notice that? Look how fast they cleaned that shit up?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, like the Sandy Hook School, they cleaned that thing up within a month, man. Bulldozed it down, whoop, up, gone. Nothing's there. Nothing's there. You didn't even know there was a school there anymore. You know?
Hide the evidence, goddammit.
Yeah. And you go stop at a gas station down the road from where the school was supposed to be, and the clerk's like a zombie, you know, like a robot. Yeah, you know, people were walking in and out of there. It's weird, man. They were just weird people. I mean, I felt very weird.
Well, talking about quick cover-ups, I mean, look at Maui, you know.
Yeah.
They really
needed it.
They pulled out all the stops to cover up what the fuck happened in Maui, you know, blocking anybody and everybody, you know, from being anywhere close to that area. And we still don't know really what the fuck is going on there. You know what I mean?
I think that was a weapons test. That was a weapons test. That's what I think it was.
Yep.
You know?
I agree with that.
Man, they don't want us to know how sick these people are who are doing these transgenders. There is a wildly disproportionate number of transgender people who have been involved in mass shootings. I mean, given their numbers in the society, their numbers that are involved in murders, is wildly disproportionate, and I think that's part of the reason they don't want to see what this crazy person wrote.
Yeah, because there's codes in there probably. You know, there's codes and signals and, you know, things that these little catchphrases that ignite people, you know? Do you ever get a song stuck in your head?
I think the main reason is they don't want us to see how truly insane many of these people are because of their being at odds with their very biology. I think it really is. I automatically think transgenderism is a sign of mental illness. The only question is, on what side of the spectrum does that mental illness lie? And I think in the case of Audrey Hepburn, the Nashville transgender shooter, she was on the extreme end of the mental illness spectrum.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I know I'm crazy and stuff, but I'm not so fucking crazy that I think that I want to, you know, have a dick.
I'll second that motion.
Wait a minute. I thought you liked dicks, Glory.
Oh, I like them. They're great.
So you do
want
to have them from time to time, don't you?
It doesn't mean that I want to have that appendage on myself.
I'm
perfectly happy.
Okay.
You know, for me, a dick is like a service weapon.
Okay. All right. Well, that's different.
Yeah,
I understand that.
Not to be.
Yeah, I got you. Gotcha.
She doesn't want it on herself. She just wants it in herself.
There you go.
That's normal.
Yeah, but I wanna
that is understandable. That's the way nature designed it.
You know.
Yeah, she doesn't. Yeah. She doesn't. She doesn't want the Audi. She wants the Innie.
There you go. Righteous. That's righteous.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how it should be. You know. And men, the same is true. You know.
Yeah, I want a
you
vagina.
You want to be able to enter
whenever
and
I get a hold
of your own free will.
Whenever I get a hold of a vagina, I want one. I definitely want one.
I feel very offended. You'd be really offended.
Definitely don't one of those. Don't want one of those surgically made ones because they're pretty gross.
No,
you know,
you're violating my rights.
I don't understand what y'all are saying.
I'm speaking for me and my lesbian friends.
Skin and skin from your arm to make a fake vagina, so you're gonna have a
hairy, man. Oh,
stinky
the vagina.
I am a lesbian, and I have been born a lesbian, and I'll always be a lesbian. That's all. I love pussy. Love it.
Phalloplasty. That is one of the most gruesome surgeries you can imagine. You ought to read the details of how they conduct a phalloplasty. It is absolutely horrific.
No fucking way. I don't even like getting a shot at the doctor's office. I sure ain't going to cut my unit off. That ain't happening.
Oh, man. You don't
want to. No, man.
If you got a weak stomach, you do not want to read about the procedure of phalloplasty. It is absolutely excruciatingly horrific.
Well, now you're going to make me fucking read it. God damn it. Thanks, Sarge.
Well, you're going to be informed at least. You can explain to others why it's such a mess.
Sarge, I'm an engineer. I got to know what makes shit work.
Both surgeries are
horrific. Oh, God. Oh, God.
You know, both of them are
just do it on an empty stomach, okay?
Horrific.
Do it on an empty stomach.
I will, man. Yeah, it's sick anyway. It's retarded. It's sick and retarded. You know, when the doctor that does it and the fucker getting it done, fucking idiot. You know, you were born what you were born. Accept it, man. You know what I mean? And it's
I can understand it if there was something defective about it.
Sure,
it was causing some sort of pain for you or something. Okay, and there's something defective about it. We're talking about people who want to do something to perfectly normal organs that are healthy. And working properly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought doctors took an oath not to do any harm. When they do that, that's doing harm. That's altering the natural thing. People are
and
sick.
And it is harmful. It absolutely
it
is harmful.
Oh,
they're sick.
People don't realize the long-term effects. I mean, these surgically made penises on former women, they're not putting out the information on how they are prone for blood clots. Blood clots that can form there and travel up to the brain and increase stroke, increase heart attacks. I mean, there's all this stuff, like the long-term effects of this stuff, they're not fucking telling anybody for a reason. You know, they're just promoting this.
Laurie, would you indulge me and allow me to read this description from Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Crowd Seducing Our Daughters, and she describes in excruciating detail what they do during a phalloplasty. It is absolutely horrific. You ought to listen to her description of it. It is absolutely horrific.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go for it. You know, eventually I do want to play a clip, before my switchboard shuts down, but we got like 45 minutes before that happens. So, yes, go ahead. I will give you the floor to read that part of the book that you're describing on these surgeries.
Well, let me go get it, and I'll bring it back because, man, when I read about this, because I had no idea it was this extensive and it did this much damage. She gives a clinical description of the procedure involved. And even in the clinical description, it sounds absolutely horrific.
All right, give me a second. I got to go take a leak. I'll be right back. I don't want to miss this. So I'll
tell you what. You come, when you come back, Let me know when you're back, and then I'll read it. Okay.
Why don't I play the Dr. Reality clip? I'll play a clip because I need to step away as well. So I'm going to play Dr. Reality. I wanted to play this a couple weeks ago, and I never got to it. What the fuck is wrong with these voters? Dr. Reality, he's talking about Oregon. I'm going to go ahead and play, you know, part of the clip. Might not play the whole thing, but this will give Sarge the opportunity to pull up that information that he wants to read, and we can all, you know, take a break, do the bathroom thing, let the dog out, let the dog in, while I play this clip, all right? So here we go, Dr. Reality, what the fuck is wrong with these voters? His video from 1/23/24. Here we go.
Welcome to the show. Voters in Oregon appear to be having a bout of the dumbass. I'm not going to take much of your time today, but I believe it's worth a few minutes to examine what's been happening in Oregon because it's illustrative of what happens when people vote from emotion rather than using their brains.
The Dr. Reality Podcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. We're going to address two issues today, the outcome of Oregon Measures 110 and 114. We'll start with Measure 110. Measure 110, known as the Drug Addiction Treatment and Recovery Act, was passed by voters in November 2020 and decriminalized certain hard drugs. While the measure also funded a significant increase in treatment funding, most of the increased funding didn't kick in until August 2022, 19 months after the decriminalization took effect. That said, I don't believe there would have been any different outcome had the treatment funding been available from day one. Oregonians are now upset with the results of Measure 110 because there has been a fourfold increase in drug deaths. To which I say, right? And your point is what? What the hell did they think was going to happen? I'm going to try to make this very simple so even Oregon voters can understand. Decriminalizing drugs does not magically cause users or addicts to make better choices, such as seeking treatment. To be blunt, that expectation is just plain stupid. It's childish. The true goal of decriminalization, when voted for by intelligent people, is that users can make whatever choice they want without being locked in a cage for doing so. In other words, users are free to get clean. They are free to keep using at their normal level. They are free to do shit that results in their death. Whichever they choose, they are not locked in a cage at the taxpayer's expense for months or years. The point is, they get to choose, which is what personal liberty is all about. But Dave, the idiots cry, these are drug addicts we're talking about, not normal people. Okay, so here's the thing. Personal liberty isn't something that applies only if or when people make good choices or choices with which you agree, any more than free speech applies only if or when a person says things with which you agree or find acceptable. I suspect the same people who imagined giving addicts a choice would save lives are the same people who feel it's fine to engage in censoring speech with which they don't approve. Is there anyone who is unaware that addicts have psychological issues? To be blunt, they're fucked up. But lots of people in the world are fucked up in different ways. Some are drug addicts. Others aren't. Some people who are fucked up become millionaires. Others live their lives in poverty. Some become emotionally abusive partners. Others are terrible parents who fuck up their children's lives. Some fucked up people have mastered their outward presentation and appear fairly normal until you get to know them. The point is that a shit ton of Americans are fucked up, yet they retain their personal liberty, their freedom to live freely while being fucked up. By 1914, every state in the Union had passed laws prohibiting the sale and use of cocaine. Then, at the beginning of the 1970s, the war on drugs kicked off. The war on drugs didn't stop anyone from getting drugs, then or now, but it did cripple the Fourth Amendment in significant ways. My point is that no matter where you want to look on the 20th century timeline, politicians had decided, and the courts went along, that if the manifestation of how a person is fucked up was to become addicted to a substance, then he or she could be locked in a cage for their particular form of being fucked up. In November 2020, Oregon voters chose to end the paradigm of locking addicts in cages. I think that's great. But they seem to have imagined that not locking Oregonians in cages for addiction wouldn't increase drug deaths. Now that they know there have been an increase in deaths, there's a movement afoot to reverse Measure 110. I can't pretend to think like nutty Oregon leftists, but it seems that since decriminalization didn't produce the sunshine and rainbows they thought it would, they want to start locking addicts in cages again. Oregon voters, it honestly looks to me like you have no clue about drugs, addiction, human nature, or personal liberty. I don't mean to be pejorative, but you guys need to grow the fuck up and see the world as adults do. Let's shift gears and talk about Measure 114. This is another case of looking at Oregon voters and wondering, what the hell are they thinking? In November 2022, Oregon voters narrowly passed Measure 114, which does some really stupid things. First, it requires all Oregon residents to buy a license in order to purchase or own a firearm. 114 also limits magazines to just 10 rounds. Let's consider the license requirement for a moment. In SCOTUS's McDonnell decision in 2010, the court decided the right to keep and bear arms is an individual, constitutionally protected right, no different than any other enumerated right in the Constitution. So, tell me, is there a requirement to have a license to exercise free speech? How about worship? Do I need a license to speak to you today as a commentator? What license is required to petition the government for redress of grievance? The answer to all of those is the government cannot impose the requirement of a license to exercise a right. Phrased another way, the government cannot restrict you from exercising a right because you didn't ask the government for permission, which is what a license is, asking the government for permission. How about being secure in your person, house, and papers against government intrusion? Do you need to get a license from the government to be protected from unlawful search and seizure by the government? Yet somehow, idiot voters in Oregon believe the right to keep and bear arms is different than any other right. They believe they can vote into existence a requirement to get a permission slip from the government to exercise an individual constitutionally protected right. 114 has been challenged in two courts, one federal and one state. At the federal district court level, the case was decided in favor of the measure by an activist judge making shit up to get the results she wanted rather than following the law of the land as decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll get to that in a minute. Another challenge was made in the Harney County Circuit Court of Oregon, and Judge Robert Roscio permanently enjoined enforcement of 114 based on his determination that it violates the Oregon Constitution. Supporters of Measure 114 asked the Oregon Supreme Court to step in and reverse Judge Roscio on an emergency basis. The Supreme Court declined to do so, which means now the Circuit Court ruling will have to work its way through the ordinary and lengthy appeals process. I laughed when I read the federal judge had ruled that Oregon's law was valid under SCOTUS's Bruin test because the law complies with, quote, the nation's history and tradition of regulating uniquely dangerous features of weapons and firearms to protect public safety, close quote. If you've ever wondered whether federal judges corruptly engage in outcome-based law, District Judge Karen Immergut is a prime example. Under the Supreme Court's Bruin test, the standard is not whether restrictions on things like magazine capacity took place at any time in the nation's history, but specifically during the founding era and the years immediately thereafter. And, of course, we know there were no such restrictions during that era. Judge Immergut claims that magazines that can hold more than 10 rounds are uniquely dangerous. That is completely false political propaganda. Can I prove that? Why, yes, yes I can. Many years ago, my good friend Bill Carnes and I filmed a video in which we simulated shooting targets, such as one might encounter in a mass shooting, using magazines limited to 10 rounds. We then ran the exercise again with magazines holding more than 10 rounds. I think you'll find the results fascinating. I'll put the link to that video down in the notes. Judge Immergut states that such restrictions are permissible if they, supposedly, promote the state interest of public safety. The Bruin test, fashioned by the U.S. Supreme Court in June 2022, specifically ended the public safety standard, which had been operative for decades. The court did so because the public safety standard was political nonsense. All a government attorney had to do under the public safety standard was assert in court that the legislation had as its goal to increase public safety, and the court would say, oh, well, if you're restricting the unalienable rights of citizens who've never harmed anyone using the unsupported claim that doing so will increase public safety, well, then it's okay to restrict their rights. Well, that's clearly an absurd standard. It was the operative standard in most judicial districts for decades. In Bruin, the Supreme Court put an end to that standard, yet Judge Immergut still applied it. Even if we leap forward in time to an era that is not part of the Bruin test, say the 1860s, there was a repeating rifle called the Spencer. When used with a Blakesley quickloader, the equivalent of a high-capacity magazine, the Spencer could fire 20 rounds a minute, which was lightning fast in that day. But guess what? Anyone could buy a Spencer rifle. There were no restrictions anywhere in the United States on owning a Spencer. So, not only were there no laws during the founding era that restricted a weapon's capacity or rate of fire, but 70 years later, there were still no laws restricting capacity or rate of fire. In other words, Judge Immergut lied in order to unconstitutionally restrict the rights of American citizens living in Oregon. Due to the points we've just discussed, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will strike down Immergut's decision. When the left-leaning Ninth Circuit strikes down an anti-gun decision, you know the judge's decision was corrupt. And by corrupt, I mean putting her personal agenda before the rights of American citizens. The bottom line for me in all of this is, what are Oregon voters thinking? They want to start locking drug users in government cages again and unconstitutionally force their fellow citizens to get government permission to exercise an unalienable right. Oregon voters, you need to grow up and start acting like adults. Before I go, I'm running a cool post-Christmas special on body science and income tax, Shattering the Myths. If you loathe that the establishment lies about seemingly everything, you'll find these two of the most fascinating books you'll ever read. I'll give you a brief summation of what the books will bring to your life and then tell you how you can get a great deal on them. Body Science sets the record straight about how human physiology really works and how you can get stunningly healthy and leave virtually all disease behind forever. I'm not going to tell you anything more about it. I'm simply going to share a couple of reader comments from social media and then move on.
All right. So, yeah, the rest of it he is promoting his two books, which I encourage you to check out if you don't have them. Check out his book, Body Science, and, of course, his Income Tax Shattering the Myth. So I encourage you to go in those, and he'll find them for you, especially if you reach out to him. He will autograph them for you and everything as well. So that was the clip that I wanted to play a couple weeks back. And I did reach out to him and put a tickler out to say, you know, hey, maybe you could come back for show number 4 and we could deep dive into what he talks about in that clip and deep dive into it. And me being here in Oregon, I am someone that both of those things that he talks about is pretty close to home. So with that said, Sarge, did you find what you need to find with the description of the transition surgery?
Yes, ma'am. It is described in about roughly 1 3/4 pages. It's from the book called Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Chase Seducing Our Daughters, Abigail Schreier, and it's on page 177. It's 178. And here's what it says. First of all, they start off with a procedure called metoidioplasty, another form of bottom surgery is a less significant procedure. It involves shaping a clitoris into something that dangles and resembles a tiny penis. It is not meant to harden or penetrate, though the urethra can be run through the clitoris so that it urinates like a tiny penis as well, assuming everything goes right. But here is the bad news, or rather the bad thing, the bad one. Phalloplasty, the construction of a penis, is not for the faint of heart. To produce a penis shaft in the urethra, a surgeon must take a skin flap from the body, most often by de-sleeving the forearm, peeling off the skin, fat, nerves, and blood vessels. The surgeon must then connect nerves to restore sensation to the graft site. When the best microsurgeons in the world do this, I am told, the result can be impressive. But most surgeons are far from the best in the world. Very often, even today, this surgery is beset by complications. Getting a penis-like flap of skin to successfully graft is no simple task. Creating the function of urination, much less stiffening, is a challenge. Enabling it to harden enough to penetrate yet another. A subsequent surgery is necessary to insert implants into the grafted phallus to produce an erection-like effect. Even just connecting all the veins and arteries to allow blood flow to the near appendage demands microsurgical skills that would abash a master watchmaker with so much delicate piercing of miniature parts. The radial artery that supplies blood to the neophallus must be connected to the artery in the groin area under a microscope using sutures about one-fourth the thickness of a human hair. The same suturing must be done to veins alongside the radial artery to direct blood flow into the groin. Blood clots are common, since even trivial injuries to the lining of the vessels will cause platelets to stick. A clot can cause the graft to fail, creating an open wound that, because of inflammation, cannot be sutured closed. The newly fashioned urethra comes with its own risks, leaks internally into the outside world. An internal leak can produce scar tissue and strictures, resulting in urine that will not stream, but fans out in a spray. And then there's the donor site of the forearm, sometimes left frightfully disfigured by de-sleeving. One female-to-male trans adult told me about a 19-year-old friend whose phalloplasty resulted in gangrene and loss of the appendage. The friend is dispossessed of normal genitalia for either sex and tethered to a catheter that empties into a urine bag strapped to her leg. Now, then he goes on to speak of a particular case of a person named Blake. Blake's attempted phalloplasty was a disaster. The implanted urethra developed strictures, which required additional surgery to insert a suprapubic catheter to divert the urinary stream so that the wound could heal. The suprapubic tube developed sepsis, a blood clot. A common risk of phalloplasty led to pulmonary embolism, from which he nearly died. A team of doctors saved his life, but he was left with wrenching pain. His forearm mangled by de-sleeving, he could no longer lift objects, and even a breeze was enough to send painful shocks through his arm. "My arm is handicapped for life," he told me. "I can't hold things. I can't hold a fork." Sepsis bloomed in his urethra. It turned out that the skin from the arm was sprouting hair inside of him. Just imagine an ingrown hair in your beard or on your leg and multiply that by 1,000. His urethra failed. He has to sit down to urinate. "I have a big mound of nothing," he said. Blake lives with so much anger, much of it directed toward his surgeon, but also toward a culture he says slathered so much gloss on the notion of transition that it amounted to a lie. Even his therapist, he says, pushed him to transition. After his failed phalloplasty, he returned to confront his therapist But she seemed to think he had no reason for regret because transgender was what he was supposed to be. That's the thing that scares me about our youth. It scares me because transition is so glamorized in the news right now. It's so easy to do. It's not that big of a deal, he said. And it is. It's a huge deal. And at 42, if I thought it was that easy, how is our youth going to be able to overcome something like that? That scares the hell out of me. So for me, was it easy transitioning? No, it wasn't. There you go. Short and sweet and absolutely horrific. Hello? Anybody there? Are y'all stunned?
I'm trying to get over cringing. I mean, that is so cringeworthy. Ron Reck put a link into the chat room also, and then I'm going to put another one, female-to-male transgender surgery case 2. That is very graphic. So I don't recommend that you watch this video that I'm posting if you have just eaten or if you're about to eat.
I'm having a snack right now as I watch that video.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in human anatomy. Don't bother me a bit. You know,
well,
so,
I've seen a lot of mango bodies in my time as a soldier and a police officer, and believe me, this made me cringe a bit. And I see some pretty minded people.
Yeah, it didn't
people,
even affect
and,
you.
But I'm telling you, this,
hold that thought
this
for
thing
just
a gave
moment.
Me a cringe.
And I do have another Skype number raising their hand. I'm wondering if it might be John Doe because we've had a Skype number kind of hanging out. Is this John Doe or do we got somebody else on the line here?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Hey, John Doe. Good to see you. I had a feeling it might be you because you were hanging out for quite a while and saw that you raised your hand once we came back from that clip. So welcome onto the show. Did you have comments on the very descriptive summary that Sarge just read to us?
Not at this time. Thanks for asking, though. I'm just basically listening and multitasking, moving stuff around.
All righty. Very good. Well, chime in when you like. Yeah, it is not pretty. It is not pretty. I know Donnie last night on his show, we talked about it a little bit with, you know, the surgery to create a vagina and how he brought up this case of a girl that got it done at a pretty young age. I forget what it is. Maybe I should bring Donnie on. Donnie and Cinnamon are both sitting back muted. But hey, Donnie, hey, Cinnamon, I'm going to go ahead and bring you on in so you can comment when you want to. Stay muted on your end if you like. But since you're back there and I'm mentioning last night's show, kind of talked about this case of this young kid that got the surgery to have a fake vagina.
It's the one from the TLC channel, the one that says, I am Jazz.
Jazz Jennings?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you know something? You know what's ironic about this, though, Laurie? You know, the female sexual plumbing is a lot more complex than the male. Lots more. But ironically,
yeah,
it is a much more difficult operation to create a male appendage than it is to create a facsimile of a female vagina. It's far more complicated and far more prone to failure, although both procedures are risky. But creating a male penis is extremely difficult to do surgically.
Well, that's because we're special.
You would think.
Yep.
I mean,
mine came with my standard equipment.
Our vagina,
you know,
our uterus, our fallopian tubes, and our ovaries are not meant to be man-manipulated and man-replicated. It's just going to go wrong every time.
I know, I think of ovaries.
There's this weird thing going on that there's transgender women So they're taking the hormones, and there's a combination of hormones that they can take now so they can lactate. So they want to adopt babies old enough that they can breastfeed. That's their big thing. Or they're buying breast pumps and pumping milk. Now, they can't physically
what
have a kid.
What could possibly go wrong? I mean, we got to wonder about, okay, so you want to breastfeed this kid, and you are being pumped up full of synthetic hormones to enable you to be able to lactate. What are you actually feeding the kid then? You know, this fucked up soup of hormones?
Well, the question
is...
That's
what one of the people are saying is, one of the doctors, it was a lactating nurse. She said, the biggest thing about this, she said, so we're going to just experiment with human children on this to see what's going to go wrong.
Well,
so,
I got a question
on that topic.
If they're going to take all these drugs to lactate and produce milk, stuff like that, would it be cheaper per gallon than regular cow milk, or am I wrong?
It's way more expensive.
Or actually goat milk. Goat milk is
closer
and better to a baby than cow milk is. Goat milk actually is more compatible for babies.
Goat milk's good, period, especially when it's cold. When it's cold down, so when it goes into coolers. Because my pops is a goat farmer, okay? I know it sounds crazy. But we milked goats, okay? And it goes in a big cooling tub thing, okay? And when you take the tap off that thing, it tastes like vanilla ice cream. It is fucking delicious, man. It's crazy.
I have to
but
tell
goat
you,
milk's really good.
When I was younger, I only babysat this baby for, 4 months, maybe. It was one of my dad's friend's new fiance, and she had just had a baby. And they got goats so she could help. Besides breastfeeding the baby, she was going to feed the baby the goat milk. That's why they got the goats. Mm-hmm. I just remember being fascinated with the goats. And the baby was cute, too. Thank God I didn't have to feed her anything. They were never gone that long since the baby was still real young.
Feeding kids goat milk is okay, but here's the problem. They start climbing cars and shit, you know, just they get,
jumping on
everything. Yeah, they start climbing large hills, and you can't get them down.
They'll put a corner post on there, you know, if they climb up the fence, Goats are a fascinating animal anyway.
And they destroy your rose bushes.
Oh, yeah, but I tell you what, goats will clean up property, though. I've used them out here before. They actually, you can rent them. You can actually have these people come out, bring goats out to your property.
I've thought about that.
And
because the grass in my yard grows so fucking tall. And, really, goats would do the job. They would love it, you know. Come here about May.
You can
rent
sheep too,
to
do it.
And I got fucking grass that's, you know, up to my boobs. Those goats would just go to town. They'd love it.
If you have a lot of property that has like poison oak or poison ivy in it, or any of the really bad weeds that you really don't want to tear out, goats have no problem with it, and they will eat the poison ivy down to the root that it won't grow back.
Yep, that's why I'm gonna get a couple this year because I have 19 acres of land, so I got a lot of places I can clear out and brush out, you know.
You mean, wait a minute, you mean goats will eat poison ivy? They don't fuck them up?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Doesn't affect them at all.
Yeah, they're mutant.
They
like got to
digest
this
and blow your mind.
They're going to chop that shit like a spinach.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
They got a digestive system that's like fucking super powder acid. It don't fuck around. They can eat anything. They can practically eat anything. So
that's why there's always joke about the goat eating tin can.
That's right.
Yep.
The goat and tin can. That's right.
Wow.
Yep. Or the abandoned truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've talked about it before. My grandpa in Norway, you know, he grew up in Norway, but came here after World War II. But he grew up in Norway in the fjords in a very small town. Like, literally, you can only get there by ferry or on a good day seaplane. There's no roads going to this town. So, it's Trandel, Norway, named after my grandfather's family name. they grew goats. Because in the middle, you know, if you can imagine, you know, the fjords, this town is at the bottom of fucking fjords, and you don't grow cattle. You know, they don't fare very well in Norwegian fjord territory and climate. So everybody does goats. So, you know, that was normal for him. They, you know, milked goats. They made cheese from it, butter from it. You know, all of that. Goats were like a fucking staple when my grandfather was growing up.
Hey, Gunslinger.
Yo.
If you ever have somebody that accidentally wander off into a hammer mill, don't panic. Just feed them to the hogs.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. I've heard the hogs eat anything, including you.
They will.
I, you know, I need a pig farmer I can trust because, you know, if you ever do have to disappear a body, a pile of pigs will do the trick.
Well, I only have two pigs on my property, so I'm sorry about that. But, and they're going to become dinner in April. Then they'll get replenished. We'll buy two more pigs. We'll raise them through the summer and winter. The next 5 years, they'll become dinner. Is that nice?
Yep.
We do everything here on the property. They don't go to a butcher. Because my experience with butchers is not good. Slaughterhouses are fucking some type of criminal cocksucker sometimes. I took a cow one time to get it slaughtered.
Yeah.
I wind up getting half of the meat. You know, they took half of it. But yeah, so... That way didn't come out. We got only weighed it. It's like, this ain't right. I mean, this fucker weighed 1,200 pounds. I'm only getting 500 pounds of meat. Okay. Something ain't right. I can see 900, 800. Yeah,
yep.
So I'm missing about 300 pounds.
My grandpa, 300 pounds
away.
You know, I grew up a, you know, suburb girl, but I am one of the rare ones that I have witnessed a cow be butchered from beginning to end. Killed,
mm-hmm.
butchered, flayed,
yep.
cleaned,
mm-hmm.
the whole
mm-hmm.
fucking thing right there
mm-hmm.
in my grandpa's yard, you know.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And my grandpa, you know, he woke me up that morning, you know, he's like, you know, we're going to butcher the cow, Mutti, you know, call me Mutti. He called us all Muttis.
Mm-hmm.
Mutti, I don't know what that fucking means, and but anyway. It's a term of endearment for him. And so he woke me up that morning. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning and got me up, and he wanted me to witness, you know, this is where the food comes from, you know. This
mm-hmm.
is why you help feed the cow. This is why you help, you know, go and collect
mm-hmm.
the cow patties for the garden and shit like
mm-hmm.
that. And it came time to butcher a cow, and beginning to end, man, it was a clean slit of the throat, bleed to death. He was kind to it while it died. That was pretty touching. You know, he just knelt down by it and was petting its neck and stuff while it was bleeding and dying, showing appreciation. And, and then from beginning to end, just everything, you know, taking out the organs and the grossest part, though, the only part that actually made me want to throw up was when they were cleaning out the intestines, you know, squeezing out all the shit out of the intestines. Oh my god, did that stink so fucking bad, and it looks so gross. That part of it. That was the one part of it where it was like, oh, my God.
Save the casing,
God
damn it.
You know?
We do everything out here. We do our chickens, everything. I mean, I'm rigged for everything. Even got a smokehouse, especially when we do the hog.
In China.
You know, ham and bacon, stuff like that. We smoke and all that, so.
I read a couple of weeks ago, and this was up here in Alaska. Boy, you may know something about it, that the school – I think it's high school, I think. This teacher, this high school teacher, is a hunter and all this kind of stuff, went out and shot this elk. I think it's an elk. And he brought it into the classroom. This whole freaking elk. Okay? And the class, that, you know, prepared it, you know, cut it all up and, you know, do whatever it did, you know, for the students to learn, you know, how to dress, you know, an animal like that. And this was an actual, you know, well, it was a live elk. Drug it in there on a big old tarp and say,
you know, here it is. It was a moose.
A moose, elk,
and
whatever
before
it was.
And before the teacher brought it in, it was gutted and cleaned.
The kids had to
skin it and everything else. So
my dad was always a hunter.
Full belly moose weigh probably over 1,000 pounds. I don't know how they're going to do that. But I was going to say this to Laurie in China: they take the intestines and they squeeze all that stuff out of it and put it in a pot. Put some greens in there, some onions, and they cook it up and they eat that stuff like that.
Oh, God, no. Well, I know that there is, like, stomach bile soup. You know, I know that they do that. They'll clear the stomach out, but the intestines, no, but the stomach, yeah. They'll take whatever's in the intestines and make a soup out of it. I mean, out of the stomach itself. But the intestines, though, where it's all, like, shit soup, no.
You go south of the border to Mexico, they have chitlin tacos.
Chitlins, that's what I was going to think. Chitlins, where are we going?
Yeah, chitlin
tacos. That's what they make
the casings for hot dogs. If you ever get a sausage or a hot dog that's in the natural casing, that's what the casing is.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
I never have eaten a small
intestine, I believe, that they make most of the shell casings from.
Yeah,
you know, which I guess, you know, they go through a whole process to make sure it's all clean and everything like that. But no, it was just like the initial, like they're in the yard and then you don't really understand how big the intestines are of a cow, you know, until you see it all being squeezed out. You know? Out in the yard. And like, I'm not kidding you. Like the smell was so fucking horrible. Like, you know, the breeze would come and it's like you'd go in the house and it smelled like it was so pungent. It was like, oh my God, that was the only time I felt sick. I was like, ugh! Like you know I was closing the windows and everything to the house to try to keep that smell out of the house, even though it was, you know, a summer day and it was warm. The house got warm, but oh my God, it was just so fucking pungent.
I lived next door to a pig farm, and they kept the pigs mostly in the barn, and so they would liquidize all of the manure, so it would all go through the slats and down into the bottom of the barn, and then they would pump that crap out. Oh my God, did that stink! It was so horrific. It would get in your pores. You could not get away from that smell. And so, go ahead.
Do y'all ever think about how much human waste you eat? You ever think about that?
Human waste you eat. I don't want to think about how much human hair, how much waste, how much bugs. I try not to think of it.
Human shit. You eat human shit and don't even know it. A lot of people don't know. But all these fucking septic systems, I mean, sewer systems that cities have and stuff like that, all that fucking hard waste goes to fertilizer. So, it's dried, bagged, and distributed onto land.
Well, yeah. Not only that, there are acceptable levels. That's the thing. Like the purified water, your tap water, all the treated fucking water, it all has acceptable levels for all kinds of shit. You know, from pharmaceuticals to how much, you know, human waste or animal waste or fertilizer, everything. You know, there are acceptable levels for all of it.
Sweetie, they use actual raw human shit for fertilizer.
I believe it.
I mean, there is no substitute. In fact, I knew a guy, a farmer.
Why should our shit be any less of a fertilizer than animal shit?
Right. Well, anyway, he raised, you know, soybeans, right? Yeah, it's about fucking what 8,000 fucking acres of land he does this on, okay? Anyway, I was out to this place one time to help me fertilize, okay? You put these big hoppers and you go on a tractor. Well, we're in these bags of this shit, this fertilizer and these things. I looked down and it looked like some type of piece of rubber band or something. You know what it was? A condom. Part of one. I said, I'll be damned. I said, how the hell did that get in here? Because you don't know what this is?
Yeah, I said,
no, just, that's when I learned about human waste that's used for fertilizer. I think I was like 16, 17 years old.
That's what they do at these big cities, these waste treatment plants. There's documentaries
right.
on YouTube you can see. And they come in with all kinds of shit. Rubbers,
yep.
diapers.
Yep.
I mean, yep. oh, my God. If
yep.
I had to walk in a place like that, I wouldn't even breathe. I know, man. The
yeah.
smell has to be horrendous.
How about all of the tampons that are flushed down the toilet?
Oh, yeah.
Think about
that's
the millions upon
is,
millions
yeah.
upon millions of tampons that are flushed down the toilet.
That too,
how,
yeah. And it brings
how,
up
how
in a bit.
We always end up going to the dark side when we get going in these conversations.
I know, and this is actually still part of the show recording too. We got 4 minutes left of the recording of the bonus hour.
We're talking about dick surgeries, and now we're talking about human shit.
Then we'll go into the land where it won't be part of the recording. So I'll lose my switchboard here in about 4 minutes.
I do want to say one thing. I caught the tail end of the Grammys because Billy Joel wrote his first song in 30 years and came out and sang it. That was pretty good.
Damn.
So I just wanted to let everybody know. Billy
Joel
is back.
Check that out.
Well, back in the day when he was famous, the motherfucking agent manager was robbing him blind.
Yep. Yeah, he said he stopped because he lost the fun. And
he was a
so,
fucking penniless musician, penniless. He had no money. It was all under contract. Nothing he could do about it.
Yep.
Damn.
Well.
Well, hey, you know, if you ever been to Dallas, okay, there's a river that runs right next to Dallas, right almost to downtown. If it wasn't for the levees, every time the river would flood, it would flood downtown Dallas. That's why they had to build the levees up there. But there's a bridge going across the river there. It's called the Trinity River, I-35. The bridge goes across there. And at night, if you go across that bridge, they dump raw sewage, well, they used to, into that river. You talk about having to hold your nose when you go over that bridge, coming or going. I call it the stink bridge. I guess they still do it today. I don't. Man, talk about smell. Oh my God! And they got parked down there.
I'm going to interrupt for just a second. I want to play a song before the recording part of the show ends. I'm going to play a song talking about, you know. I think it's appropriate based on the comments we just made about how things go off the rails when we're in overtime. So I'm gonna play this song for the very
song?
End of the part of the recording, and then let's pick up this conversation. Hold your thoughts. Go. This is Gavin DeGraw, Finest Hour.
Got a text from you. Is it really true? All the stuff we did last night. We shut down the bars, dance on top of cars, ask some girl she'd be my wife. Oh, and I got pictures that I don't remember taking that are so bad. And oh, I had to break into my own damn apartment. How about that? They say the best always come from the worst match, baby, but oh, it was crazy. Bruises off my knee, they're all over me.
They say the best sellers come from the worst match, baby, but oh, it was crazy, oh, it was amazing. We blew all our money and crashed in your Mercedes. Yeah, we both got numbers that didn't get the name. Then the whole damn party lost power.
It was
our finest hour. Last night.
Officially into no man's land time, folks. Before the switchboard went down, just about maybe like 30 seconds ago or a minute ago or whatever, last I saw, here's everybody that's still on the line for overtime. We got Donnie, Cinnamon, John Doe, Gunslinger, Joe Gibson, Ron Reck, Bianchi, Boyd, Sarge, Daniel and or Kathy, and Mike, as well, of course, me, all on the line.
I'm going to tell y'all now.
So was that an appropriate song, or was that an appropriate song? We are in our finest hour now of the show. No man's land.
But I was going to say this. I'm not going to eat anything that's been fertilized with human mess. Ain't going to happen.
Probably already has. That's the point.
Yes, you are. Yes, you have.
You have, and you just haven't known it.
You just don't know it.
That just makes you make sure you wash your vegetables and fruits. Don't just
it
snack
don't
on
matter.
Them.
It's still in there.
Well, yeah, it's in the food itself. Food changes the plants change it.
Well, you got to remember, though, that the whole point of fertilizer is a molecular structural breakdown. It doesn't matter. It can hurt you, you know.
Yeah.
That's just good for plants. Doesn't matter. It's feed. It's feed. And another thing I'll tell you right now, the ground in this country is so depleted of any nutrients. That's the best thing that could happen to it. And that's the whole plan of it. If I go out in the woods here in my property, and I dig wood, you know, dirt out from the trees in that area, that is the best topsoil you're ever going to get. You're talking thousands of years of foliage. It has fell and rotted right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
I don't rake
my backyard for that reason. All the leaves that fall from the trees, I don't rake it. Why? Because it all dissolves over winter into spring and stuff. And then the new
compost,
shit comes
right.
up, and it all helps fertilize it.
Right.
Yeah, like,
right.
queen bees, queen honeybees, queen bumblebees, they tend to hibernate underneath piles of leaves and twigs and stuff over the winter. So when you rake them, you're probably killing your queen honeybees and queen bumblebees and pollinators to boot. So just let it be. Let the fucking let the leaves fucking, you know, do their thing and biodegrade, and your shit'll grow. You know, you don't have to like that shit.
You know, you can Google, and if you don't believe me, you can Google it. I did because I didn't believe myself. You can actually pee on your plants in your garden, and it's good for them.
They
yep.
love it.
Nitrogen.
It's nitrogen. Yeah. Yeah. Don't believe me? Go Google it. Is it good to pee on your plants? And they'll say, yeah. It's that nitrogen. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I said, wow. You got to be kidding me.
My neighbor set up mulching pins, and she did pretty large ones until the first year she had a bunch of mulch and she filled up, they came out really well. And she filled up these big tin planting beds that she did. And then the next year she just had too much. So she started throwing it over the fence, and along her fence line, the weeds that are normally, because we've got a field behind us, a farm field. So you've got that little strip of weeds. The weeds that grew right behind her fence were ginormous. She said, well,
yeah,
that's
very healthy.
Really good.
Yeah.
I grew
compost a lot here. This whole property is self-efficient. It's self-sustained. It's nothing outside connected to this property. The only thing I have anything utility-wise goes to my internet. And it's wireless, too. So I'm not connected to the grid at all. So
I grew sunflowers one time because in my garden, because it was fertilizer and all that stuff. I had to take an axe to cut them down.
They get fucking huge.
4 or 5 inches that stalk.
Uh-huh.
And they're about 15 feet tall. I had to take an axe.
And they're called mammoths.
Yeah, I've never seen such big sunflowers my entire life.
They're called mammoth. Yeah, they're big fuckers. But I grow those every year, for sunflower seeds, man, just the seed.
Yeah, sunflower
seeds. Yep. Soak them in some, a little bit of sea salt, let them dry out, and you got sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
Or add whatever flavor you want, you know. But we grow a lot of things here. I mean, a lot of shit. We got 2 greenhouses here. Of course, you know, the compost, the animals, the cows, the chickens, the hogs. I don't have a goat yet, but this year I'm going to get one. Matter of fact, I'm going to get a couple of them. That's the plan.
Yeah, the nice thing is, since I live outside of the Salem City area, you know, just by about a half a mile, I'm actually Marion County, I legally can have chicken and a goat. They are permissible under Marion County. So I could have that. And I will say that my backyard is very fertilized because I have a 70-pound dog. And when it's cold and rainy in the fall and winter and spring in Oregon, I don't go out there and clean up the rain-drenched dog poop in the yard. I just let it
fertilize
the fucking lawn. And that's why I have grass that grows up to my pits. Anything will grow in my yard. When I did have a yard guy come out once to help me because it was just too much of a job. He helped me like clear some branches and stuff that fell down and he had a big-ass mower, like one of those big motherfuckers, you know, that I don't have, and help mow the lawn in the back. And he's like, your soil is very fertile, you know. He's like, you could grow just about anything on the soil here because it's so well fertilized, you know. It's ready to grow anything, you know. And so that's why I still have a raised garden bed that I haven't implemented because I haven't been able to afford soil and stuff. But, you know, I got good soil to raise some shit, and I could get, you know, a chicken coop, and I could have a fucking goat.
You just need
I had the fucking money.
Get
a
patch tilled out. Look on Craigslist. Use tilling. You know, marketplace. Some people,
biggest part, the whole south side, and it gets lots of sun, of fucking sun.
I sell 5 acres of my property. We sell 5 acres of it every year. We just till twice. But I'm not talking with a hand tiller. I have one in the back of my tractor, you know, with a 5-foot tiller, you know, in the back. It makes life so much easier. People hate me. Friends of mine, you come till my garden? No, I'm not. But Yeah, I broke because I used a regular old garden tiller for years. Finally, I can't take it no more. If I break my fucking back, you know, trying to wrestle a tiller. So I bought bean cutter, 5 foot tiller, put my back to that tractor, 3 point hookup, good to go.
Right.
Great. I got a whole bunch of 3 point attachments that tractor. Yeah, man, I was up.
Yes, my dad's brother, he lives in Rockwall, Texas, just north east of Dallas. He built a tiller, okay?
Oh, yeah?
For the track. He built it out of a rear end, okay, of a truck, and welded the blades and everything on it and put the 3 point on it and 3 point hookup and everything.
Right.
Fucking worked as good as a brand new one. I think he paid maybe $100 for it. All parts.
Well, this one, I got this at Tractor Supply. It was by accident. They were, I raped that place. Oh, God, they hate me. Anyway, I was at Tractor Supply, and they had this big yellow sign that said clearance. So I went inside the store because, you know, I had a bunch of equipment. I had, you know, auger drills and all that shit, you know, for 3 point. So I went out there. Went in there and I asked this girl, I said, well, what's all in clearance? Is everything out there on clearance? I said, everything? What's going on? Because we're closing the store. I said, no shit. I said, okay. So I walked out there and looked around. I seen that tiller sitting there. I said, what about this tiller? You know, it's like $1,100 fucking. Just 50% off. If you get it today, I can knock off another $100. I said, so you're saying $450 for it? She said, yeah. I said, I'm taking it. It's mine. And she goes, it has a drive shaft part, too. We have a drive shaft. I said, great. That's cool, too. Fuck. Everything you need, good to go. So I bought that. And what was it? A month before that, I bought like, what was it, 40 boxes of 1,000 rounds of 22s for $5 a box. Somebody fucked up.
Wow.
Somebody fucked up bad. Anyway,
wow.
the chick the rest of us, we'll start thinking you're only limited to two boxes. And I looked at the count. I said,
that's
it doesn't
like
say limited.
Winning the lottery.
It was. And the guy behind me was mad as a motherfucker. You know, I heard him cussing and spitting at me, but called me all kinds of fucking names. Hey, buddy, I seen it first. That's all there is to it. You know, it said Remington 22 long rifle, $5 a box. Okay, cool. Fuck it. I'll take it all. So I started sitting all in the cart. I didn't give a fuck. You know, he's right there to check out. You know what I mean? So anyway, I started throwing shit in the cart.
Sold all of them all at once.
Well, yeah, but $5 a box,
not
that
a
was
bit
not
here
or
there, but that a huge.
That was
month,
somebody either was pissed off and fucked up on purpose.
Your advantage.